Salutations out there. This is the Five Starter Crew coming back at you with a brand new podcast. I'm TKO, and I got my man Boss Off. What's up, Ba?
Chilling. What's up, dog?
Ain't nothing. Kenny should be along. I think he had to work late tonight, so hopefully he'll be along in a few. So then we'll hold it down. Wow, what's going on this week, man? Phew, what a week.
I mean, it's that time of year where you try to have to force yourself up to stay up until 1 in the morning watching all these games, you know? So that's what I've been doing. I was looking stupid as shit last night, you know? I had an Oreo on my chest when Luka hit a three, you know? I started smiling. Yeah, Luca.
That's exactly what I'm not doing, young dog. I guess something like controversial happened in the Lakers game the other night, nigga. I didn't watch a second of that game, but like, I couldn't avoid that shit that happened to Nick Shun. That shit was in all my damn YouTube and IG algos, young. Like, how could this happen? And then I see more from the L account. Them niggas partying in New York and not giving a fuck about it. No missed calls, John. I was like, see, that's why I can't do this, John. Motherfucking Charmaine, yeah. having conniption fits, like, she don't understand why Lakers can't beat the Nuggets, John. Like, no matter what, John. Like, it's so much more pleasant over here, young. Like, I just see the final score. I'm like, guess what's a close game, young. Had no idea these niggas was up 20 and lost that game, dog. Fuck midnight, young. I've been up to fucking 2 a.m. just being mad, young.
Yeah, dog. I
can't do it no more, young.
30 is the new 20 as far as that, because a lot of people be talking about these 20-point leads now, dog. Like, it seemed like every other day a team blows a 20-point lead. You have to be up 30, dog. That's how I knew the Mavs wasn't going to be able to come back on the Clippers, because they got up 30. I said, yeah, that's too much to overcome. But if it was 20, I'd be like, shit, this ain't over.
Yeah.
But 30 is, you just run out of time, you know?
Yeah.
But 20 ain't shit.
Yeah.
But yeah. See,
maybe it's just for the best. I'm like, these niggas go ahead and put us out of our fucking misery. So I don't have to do nothing. My bad. God dang, politicians be texting me like shit now, young. Leave me alone. Mobilize yourself, man. Leave me the fuck alone. Yeah, dog, like, for me to be a Lakers fan, especially, young, like, these games be in and out. One, young, like, I can't have my damn blood pressure up at 1 o'clock in the morning, young. Like, nah, bruh. Nah, bruh. And I don't feel as confident in the team as I did, you know, a couple years ago either, man. Like, what are we? We're like the 7th seed or the 6th seed? I think we're the 7th seed. Yeah, because
the Lakers are the 7th. Denver is the 2. Yeah. Oklahoma City is the 1 seed.
Yeah, yeah. So, shit could be worse, Sean. I could be a motherfucking Suns fan, you know? Like, nigga. Somebody got to answer to that. Like, okay, I get it. Like, these first two games was on the road. A series doesn't start until, you know, a road team wins a game and shit, young. But
yeah, man.
They got three niggas, young. This is supposed to be like some legendary shit, young.
It's agendas all over the place. So you want to start with the Suns? Like, how bad it is for them?
Well. First, I just wanted to get something off the top about, like, on the weekend I had and shit, young.
You know, oh, okay.
We be talking about our health and shit, young, but that shit just hit like super close to home this weekend, man. So I was out, you know, just doing my regular, you know, walking, you know, this past week or whatever. And I think Friday, one of my homeboys hit me up. He's like, yo, what you doing tomorrow, man? I was like, you know, I'm open. Like, what's going on tomorrow night? Whatever. He's like, well, you know, this dude went to Howard with us. He's a DJ Alamo. He's having like a little birthday party for at his crib and shit. It's actually not too far from you over where they're building that new aquatic center in Southeast. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about?
Not really.
What? Yeah, it's aquatic like center. Off of like G Street, some shit. Yeah. It's like right after you hop off of 295. Anyway, I was like, you know, we can slide through there and whatever. And then he was like, you know, let's go out and watch like the early set of games first. And I was like, nah, bro, I know I'm going to sleep in a little late and I want to get my motherfucking miles in and shit, man. And he was like, bro, you and them damn miles, man, like you're going to be missing out and shit. I'm like, no, the fuck I'm not. Missing out on what? Paying fucking $50 for a couple of drinks at a goddamn bar and shit, you know? Like, I'm cool, whatever. But when niggas say shit like that, whatever, it kind of stick with you and you kind of like go back later, that we're back and think about like, man, am I doing like too much of this and not enough of that or whatever? And I just like the week I had, like, I got like a daily rapport with my damn female man and shit. Not the male man, she's a female man. Don't be toxic, y'all. That's what I'm called. So I always catch her out and she's like, oh, you out early today, you out late today, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, you know, just trying to get the miles in or whatever. Then some dude I always see on his motherfucking porch, I didn't even recognize. I thought this nigga was running up on me and she's like, hey, bruh, I done seen you drop all that, man. Like, you doing your thing, man. I'm like, yeah, I'm just trying, man. Yeah. So, and then, like, two more people and shit in my neighborhood. I'm like Mr. Rogers out this joint. Like, am I just, like, doing this shit a little bit too much, young? Like, just, like, every day. Like, I'm up to, like, 6 days a week now. I kind of take Sundays off and shit, man. So I was like, yeah, you know, I could maybe scale it back a little bit. You know, the weather's getting nicer and shit, man. And then, sure enough, like Saturday morning, I found out that one of my homeboys had like a series of strokes and shit, man.
Oh my God! And, damn. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Man. So, yeah, man. Like, so, yeah, though. Like everybody been going through it this weekend. But you know, good news is I saw him today because he was out in Lanham in Maryland and shit, man. I was actually on my way out there yesterday, but he got transferred over right by me by the hospital center and shit, man. So okay. I walked up there early or whatever, man. So you know, got full motion back because he had limited motion like on the left side of his body and shit, man. But like all that shit is back and. And, you know, like, you know, I had heard things, but, you know, I, of course, I'm reading up on shit and niggas telling me shit. Like, you know, whenever people have strokes or whatever, man, like, those first 3 weeks are, like, super crucial because whatever you don't get back then, it's going to be hard to get back. You got to really work at it and shit. Yep. So just in the couple days since then or whatever, man, he got his full range back and shit, man. It's just not, it's not about him doing, like, you know, the work every day. To get everything back 100%, man. But I was just like, man, like every time I hear about a nigga having like problems with their health or whatever, man, I be thinking about that motherfucking King's disease, young. I'm like, dog, this ain't nothing but that. And it's like, it's so fucking ironic and cruel that, you know, it don't have to be a fucking like a sob story. Like you got to come from the poorest of conditions and shit. But you know, a lot of us come from, like, lower middle class families and shit, man. Especially when we go to college and have loans and shit, man. Make mistakes early in life, whatever. Man, like, when you get later on in your days and, like, you get to, like, see some of the fruits of your labor and shit, man. Niggas be enjoying themselves, young, as they should, man. But it's such a fine line of where you can go overboard and do shit to your detriment.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, homeboy, like, very really successful and shit, man. And, you know, runs his own business or whatever. So, that whole 40 hours a week, man, he be, like, 50, 60 minimum or whatever. So, when he gets to have, you know, a dinner meeting or a cocktail party he goes to and shit, and then he gets some free time to himself, like, you know, nice to go, like, go to nice restaurants and vacation places and, like, you know, work hard, play hard is, like, the motto and shit, man. But the older you get, man, that play hard shit, man, it gotta be balanced, John. Gotta be balanced. Yeah. So, I'm just glad he had the wherewithal. Like, you know, he listened to his body as soon as he didn't feel right. He went to the hospital and shit, man. So he found out he had, like, another stroke, like, on the way there or some shit, man. So, yeah, man. Could have been a lot worse, man. But, you know, it's just a wake-up call for him. And, you know, just a reaffirmation for me, like, man, you know, the little bit I might be missing out on, which I'm not, and shit, man, is well worth it. Because, you know,
yeah,
you only got one of these things called lives, you know.
Yeah, taking care of yourself, man. Yep.
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 So this would be when Kenny would drop the link and shit, man. But he'll be along soon. Yeah, we'll definitely reiterate that, because yeah, shit is the most important thing, man. Your health.
Yep. Yep.
All right, now let's get into frying these niggas. Speaking of Rome, you know, this nigga Rome called Brad, he called Brad the black Kirk Cousins, John. He said,
I see the vision.
He was like, no responsibility, and he gets a lot of numbers, but you can't depend on him in the postseason, John. So, I don't think, first of all, I like Brad, you know, just like, you know, he seemed like a real,
yeah, Brad real likeable cool dude.
Yeah, real likable, man. You know, my man has seats right behind his brother and shit, man. And, you know, rap with him a couple times, man. Real likable dude, you know. But I'm starting to wonder if, like, the non-expectations that he had here for so long, because, you know, as KB has said a million times over, like, they haven't won anything since fucking the 70s and shit, whatever. If that has him having this attitude, like, you know, it doesn't really matter as long as I do XYZ during the season, like, you know, the true superstars and, like, alpha dogs or whatever, like, they turn their shit up in the postseason because they know that that's going to impact their legacy, whereas some guys, like, just cool getting paid and, you know, riding through, and if it doesn't work out, oh well, you know, they can lose no sleep over it and shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it starts with from him, but it's definitely a cloud of just apathy with that team. Like, them niggas know they gonna lose, and it seemed like they not too broken up about it. Like, none of them care that much. I ain't seen one of them get angry yet.
Dog, I saw this clip of Anthony Edwards talking shit to KD,
yep.
And KD was just smiling, looking up, you know. And I was like, nigga, again, a series doesn't start until a road team wins the game, you know. But, like, if I was a petty nigga with some motherfucking shopping skills, you know, nigga, I'll be playing that motherfucker 1-2-3 Cancun like shit right now, you know. Because he looked like he wasn't tripping, you know.
He wasn't. He wasn't tripping at all. Sucks, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, man, 1-13, dog. I don't see nobody mad. Dudes on the bench ain't mad. The stars ain't mad. The coach ain't mad. Vogel not tripping. I ain't seen that owner. Like, he had a lot to say when they got KD last year, you know. He had a lot to say. I don't forgot his name now. But, hey, dog, when they got KD, he was all in front of the cameras. Because, I mean, I talked about all this shit when it went down, because they got Brad over the summer, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody said it was a bad move or whatever. And, you know, obviously, like, clearly there's some questions about fit or whatever. With him and Booker, like, they're redundant. Like, that's fine. My thing was, they try to put that shit on Isaiah because he a consultant for that team. Mm. I'm like, I said the GM's name is James Jones. Do not start with that. Hey, though, they kept saying, Isaiah, Brad Beal. I was like, y'all still doing this shit? Like, it's the early 2000s. I was like, he ain't got nothing to do with this, man. James Jones did that deal. So, sure, if you don't think Brad fit on the team, won't you bring up James Jones' name, man? James Jones and that owner, when they got Brad Beal, they were talking like shit. So this year was supposed to be a big year for them, and it's like the reality done hit them. They not good enough, and they going out without a fight. It's like they already thinking about next year. But it's like they have no room because Brad is untradeable. It's not like he a good asset. Like, they owe him, like, another $180 million, I think, mm-hmm. over the next, is it 3 years? Yeah, I think over the next 3 years. And, yeah, man, like, no team taking that on. Who want 18 points and no defense for $60 million? That sound like a good deal? So nobody wants that from a 31-year-old at that. So 18, no defense, 31. Going to be 33 when the contract over. Might be 34, I think Brad. Nah, he 31. He's about to turn 31 this summer. So, yeah, man. They going out bad. I saw a graphic today. They was talking about, they said, Steph ain't make the playoffs, and KD and Braun down 0-2, and they like end of an era. And I like, I ain't even think about that. Mm-hmm. Which I haven't. Like, I mean, individually, I know that is the reality for all three of them. But as a whole, I ain't know all of them was that, like, washed. I was like, that's a lot of washed going on right there, you know. He said that end of an era. I said, God damn. Like, yeah. It's crazy, man. We done went through, like, 3 end of an eras, dog. Yeah. With, like, stars on their way out. Like, bruh. This one's definitely hitting home. I saw that shit. I said, man, I'm old as shit, man. So, yeah, it's something, man. So, as far as, like, who going to get fried, like, of course it's KD. Devin Booker only, like, 27, man. He got plenty of time. KD, what, 35? About to be 35? Or about to be 36? I know he's 4 years behind Braun. Mm-hmm. And Braun about to be 40 in December. I mean, yeah, so I think KD going to be 36. He going to turn 36. I don't know.
He's still got some shit in the tank, but when he had that injury and his shit popped in the finals a couple years ago, I'm like, man, all this, like, Mega Man shit aside that, like, we seeing, like at the time, Braun and fucking Tom Brady do, I'm like, man, conventional wisdom tells you that niggas don't come back from this and be the same dude, much less better. Like, man, it's KD, man. Like, okay. Like, and since then, he's shown flashes and shit, man. But, like, that nigga who came down and took that big-ass three in Braun face in Golden State, he ain't been that nigga since then, you know?
Yeah.
That was him.
He definitely don't got as much lift on his jumper as he used to.
Yeah. Which, you know, he can still drop 50 any night. I get that, young, but it's just not the same. Like, man, niggas would bark back at him because they're competitive and shit, but these niggas be talking shit, young.
Yeah, dog. I don't even know if he would drop 50 like that. 50 requires energy, young. Yeah. I mean, if his jumper working like that, sure he can drop 50. But 50 for KD used to be a mix of drives, his mid range, and some threes. You know,
yeah.
he don't be wanting to drive like that no more, you know? Because that shit takes energy. KD don't even be doing his dribble combos no more, you know? First of all, they slower now and they get plucked. Jaden McDaniels was in his space, you know? He was trying to hit them highest crossovers he be doing, you know? Shorty just kept reaching for the ball, knocking it away, knocking it away, knocking it away. KD said, fuck this, man. Yeah. Hey, yo. At one point, KD caught the ball and just stood in triple threat and shot a jumper. He said, man, I ain't trying to dribble around you. Like, fuck that, man. Like, had me bend over chasing the ball because you done knocked it away over and over. Just age, man. You can't do what you used to do. But, yeah, people get it twisted because he can drop an efficient 27. But he only shooting 20 shots to get that 27. Yeah. To get 50, he going to have to create like 30-something shots, you know. KD don't be wanting to do that, you know. That's expending a lot of energy. So, I don't know if he can drop 50 like he used to. His last gasp at being that dude, how you was talking about? I mean, I've seen him since Golden State, but his last gasp of doing that, and I swear he lost it after that game. When they lost to Milwaukee. Because yeah. That's when he was fresh off the injury. He had come back that year.
Yeah, something to prove, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, he ain't been like that explosive since, dog. I couldn't tell you KD's last 50-point game. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's unfortunate he going to get fried, but that's the team they built. That's the roster they built. Everybody is obsessing over them not having a point guard now. Now they saying it. But a few people picked Phoenix. And those same people talking about, oh, well, they ain't got no point guard, and we knew there was going to be a problem, blah, blah. Nah. Yeah. You picked them. I hate when people pick somebody and then start making up some shit. Yeah, those were the deficiencies coming in, man.
Dog, you can't have everything, you know?
Nah. Did I think they could overcome it? I thought they could overcome it, but I knew Minnesota could win the series. I had this shit as a toss-up. It's looking like dominant. It's looking like a four-game sweep.
That team is still... Well, Cat ain't super, super young, but, like, they best player young. So, it's always a chance of that nigga having some lemon booty on the road, young, but he just so fucking fearless, though, young. Like, he don't give a fuck, young.
Oh, ain't having lemon booty? Nah, yeah. He can have a bad game, but that's what bodes well for them sweeping them, Tone. He had a bad game last game. They still beat their ass easy.
This is true. But it's something about a veteran team at home and shit. Like, I just don't like jumping out the window after two games.
I understand.
You know, because, you know, like I said, I don't follow closely, but, you know, Rome's a big Minnesota fan. He was just like, man, last year, Ant was looking like D'Angelo looked like 3 years ago for them and shit, man. He's like, he got to come back, you know, and improve something this year. And so far, he is, you know. Like, you know, that record season shit is cool. He be piking on niggas all the time, man. But he look hungry, though, you know.
So. Oh, yeah. He look like he don't feel like waiting for his turn. People always talking about somebody, like, too young or whatever, like. He looked like that, and Jalen Williams at OKC got that shit. Like, I don't feel like waiting my turn. Like, I want it now.
Yeah.
So.
Have you seen that since Russ, KD, and Harden, really, right?
Yeah, I think Chris Broussard was talking about that. That was the last young team to go to the finals. I just think they were just more talented than everybody. I don't necessarily think it was a mentality thing with them. It was just like they overwhelmed people with talent, dog.
Yeah. I'm even if you're talking about like the year before, like maybe the year or two before that they even went to the finals, like we had drawn them in like the first round or second round or something like that, and you know, I think we beat them 4-1 or 4-2, man, but that was not an easy series because them niggas was like, why the fuck not us, you know? And it was like, it wasn't even like we just happy to be here and shit. That was like early in their playoff runs and shit, man. But they just, yeah, man, they just came hungry to the table, man. I mean, apparently that's what fucking OKC and Minnesota are doing right now, man. So, yeah, so I ain't got much for the Lakers and shit, man. I'm just happy I don't have to witness 20-point leads being blown, because I'd be in here having a fit at 12 o'clock at night and shit. So, seeing that final score and shit, man, it's a lot easier on my soul, you know.
Yeah. I don't even know how they losing other than just a lack of composure. Like, Denver just well coached. Like, people don't like Malone because he got a chip on his shoulder or whatever. Like, they know what they doing in big moments. Mm-hmm. They just remind me a lot of the Spurs, the Duncan Spurs, where it's like they not gonna beat themselves. And they wait for you to fuck up. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, man, like, D'Lo ain't even fuck up shooting. Like, he missed some shots he was making in the first half of that game. Mm-hmm. He fucked up throwing some dumb passes, dog. Because they were trying to make something happen because the Nuggets had tightened up on defense. And D'Lo tried to make some passes that just, they were tough. They would have been tough completions. But he was trying to pass a guy open because they was just boning up so tight, dog. He was trying to get, I think one, he was trying to get somebody on a back cut and he was trying to squeeze it in. And I think one he tried to lob to AD in the post. Like AD was holding off Joker and he tried to lob it over the top and that shit just got stolen.
Yeah, I've been looking at his stat lines. I'm like, well, it's not the usual way he chokes and shit, man. But, you know, niggas in the group chat's been like, man, yeah, fucking D'Angelo. I'm like, is it really because of him or, like, we just used to picking on him and shit, man. But it seemed like he's been making boneheaded plays. Like, if it ain't a shot, it's going to be a motherfucking bad pass or a bad decision and shit. So
he took one shot I ain't agree with. Okay. When Denver was getting back in the game. The other shots he just missed. It's not a bad shot if you just miss. You just miss. Like, fuck it. But one was definitely rushed, and he shouldn't have took that shit.
Yeah, so I almost had my reverse mojo working on Saturday and shit because, man, we can get to them, young. We was at that cookout, young, so... Both these niggas from Howard was at this cookout. This niggas from New York, man. Sam, they were so happy watching them Knicks win, young. I was just, nigga, first of all, I was high because this is my first 420 I spent with my fucking stoners and shit, young. So I was just halfway there to what these niggas was doing and shit, man. But, like, ain't nothing more enjoyable than watching people be happy when you kind of high, young. Like, nigga. The joy, Sam. The joy, young. The joy, young. This nigga had a chair, young. He had a Spree World jersey, a throwback on, that orange joint, young. Mm-hmm. Nigga, he just kept on pumping his fist, young, rocking in that chair, dog. He was so into it, young. I was like, that's all right for them, young. They ain't had a it, moment young? In a while, young. So that shit was cool. But yeah, when the Lakers game came on, I was trying to make it to the fight. Yeah, that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to make it to the fight. But that shit wouldn't happen because I got too tired. Whatever. So, but I was watching the Lakers game, but some nigga was hot and he fucked with this, with that fire stick. They had a couple TVs in the back and shit.
See?
And every time that five, like, the Lakers were up comfortably. It wasn't 20 on Saturday, but they were up like 12, 15 comfortably. Every time you fuck with that fire stick, when he bring it back, young, it was either tied or they were down. I was like, why you keep on, like, making my team lose, young? So then, at some point, young, like, the last time he fucked with it, whatever, because he was trying to get ready for the fight, young. I was like, nigga, the fight's like 2 hours away, young. I think everybody was just hiding, young. But by the time he got that last joint right, like, we were down five. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to go, young. I'm ready to go because obviously y'all want my team to win, and usually I'm the reason they fucking up, but it ain't my fault tonight, young. Every time that motherfucking TV's acting right and I get to watch possessions and shit, man, these niggas was balling. But as soon as them shits went out, dog, like, these niggas been going on 11 to 2 runs and shit, and we down 5 now. I'm like, man, like, fuck this, young. Fuck this. So I broke the fuck out, you know. Got home. Well, shit, I went somewhere else. Lost my damn credit card. Just got found, though. Then I went home, young. I didn't even see an ounce of that fucking fight either, young. Woke up and heard Danny won. I was like, I must be high, young. It's no way this crazy-ass nigga won and shit. Found this nigga, man, motherfucking Kaiser Sose and shit for 3 months or whatever. And he rocked these niggas asleep, whatever. And I was like, what a Saturday, dog. What a Saturday.
I mean, but yeah, I went back and looked at his fight against Tank. Yeah, like, it wasn't like he was getting dominated. He got fucked up. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, a classic, like, one punch, like,
yeah,
that was the wrong shot to get hit with, you know? So I would like to see a rematch there. I just think people, like, took so much from that fight, like, yeah, he ain't it, and just assume he would fold against another top person in that division. And yeah, dog, like, shit.
Well,
he a talented kid, man.
I gotta go back to my conversation, my text convo with Ronnie, because it was so much being said, like, when that nigga started coming out worshiping the devil and shit, young, like, everybody had something to say and shit, man. So somebody at work I was talking to, who, like, you know, was a pretty legit boxing fan, she's like, man, this nigga just like a classic example of a kid who got it all too early and shit, and he just went crazy and shit. Like, man, he I think he got married and shit early or some shit like that, or like he's been with his girlfriend for so long, and then, like, man, he, like, the fucking fame just came too quick, and he just didn't know how to handle it or whatever. And then that Tank fight just sent him over the fucking edge, when the whole time this nigga was like, yep, I'm gonna make these niggas think I'm crazy, and I'm gonna keep on, like, you know, I'm gonna get in this motherfucking gym, work my ass off, and the little bit this nigga sleeps on me and shit, I'm gonna use that shit to my advantage and beat him and shit, man. But I forgot what Ronnie said, but yeah, that shit was funny, though. Like, it's a whole interview up on YouTube. I was watching today, just laughing. You know? He's like, yeah, they thought I was crazy, man. Like, I did it. Like, he might have been motherfucking Donnell Harvey. You know? He's like, I did it. Yeah, I did that.
See, Kenny just hopped on. What's up, Kenny?
What's up, y'all?
No. You ain't see Floyd and Bill Haney arguing today, you know?
Oh, yes, I did, you know?
First thing I saw this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bill didn't even motherfucking use that motherfucking brush comb on his head, you know? Like, he got right on the motherfucking live and started getting mad, you know? That shit was good.
Yeah. That's the first time I seen someone arguing with Floyd. Well, the other one was with, what was the former ESPN host? Kenny?
Brian
the one
he Kenny. Got.
Brian Kenny, yeah. That was the first time Floyd came off as, like, not the villain to me, you know. Since the Brian Kenny interview.
Hmm.
Like, that wasn't Floyd's fault, you know. Bill was just mad. He was saying outlandish shit, you know.
Yeah, I don't know why Bill Haney, that old, still care about streets. Every time I see a nigga that old talking about, like, yeah, what the streets saying, the streets, dog, Floyd, man, I don't know if he's past all that. I don't know. But that's how he came off. Like, dog, why do you care about that? You keep saying that. What does that really mean?
Yeah, what does it mean? Yeah,
yeah, what does that mean? Yeah? Or you just, like you say, you just mad. So niggas start talking about what the streets say. Yeah, you just mad, you know.
Say you spending money on all them bitches while you ain't keeping your kids out the streets. He said you need to be taking care of your kids so they ain't in the streets. I was like, what? Like, what yeah. giving the money going to that's going to make them go to the streets because they going to do what they do. I actually felt bad for Floyd because he was like, dog, at a certain age, like, you can't tell a kid nothing. What is you saying?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
That's basically like his version of motherfucking whack talking about the paperwork.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who the fuck give a fuck about some paperwork, man?
We ain't never talk about that paperwork going on.
Dog, every fucking clubhouse that they transcribe to fucking YouTube, young, it end up talking about paperwork. But the paperwork, the paperwork.
Yeah.
Hey, he don't know about the paperwork. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, what? Why does this matter to anybody? Like, nigga, y'all niggas older than me, huh?
Yeah.
Got some, bought some paperwork that nobody care about.
And another thing about that interview too, I forgot Floyd got that shit with he got the same shit like Charleston, you know? He hit that stutter and cause he about to drop a bomb, you know?
He load up, man.
He said, hey, congratulations, your son is the Spawn champion of the world. Congratulations. I said, yeah, God damn, he done cooked him, you know?
Yeah. That was good, man.
Niggas start talking about that sparring, you know?
Yeah.
It was mad as shit. I'm
always talking about them lights, you know?
Yeah.
He ain't like that, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, he beat me in sparring, but yeah, what happened when the lights came on, you know?
Yeah.
And Bill ain't had no response, you know? He started talking about the streets. I was like, yeah, he done. Yeah.
He pulled that shotgun on his motherfucking trench leg. Like, yeah. Omar,
yeah.
He said, the sparring champion.
Yeah.
Dude, that shit was stupid, yo.
And Floyd got the biggest Big Joker probably in boxing history, you know? Because you can't do nothing respect like that. His zero.
Yeah.
You can't do nothing but respect it. Like, dog, I beat everybody. No one ever beat me. ESPN wrote an article about the 10-year anniversary of when Shane Mosley dazed me in the second round. They wrote a fucking 10-year, like, y'all remember that happened? Like, Floyd was, like, dazed for a second? Like, that's how good Floyd was. They wrote a fucking article about that shit. The 10-year anniversary of Floyd being dazed in a fight. So, at the end of the day, it don't matter, like, you... Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that was 10 years ago?
Nah, like, the 10-year anniversary of when it happened. Like, that was really, like... 2000, I think it was 2010. I thought it was 2010. Yeah, around that time, yeah.
Damn.
I just remember the 10-year anniversary. ESPN.com, there was an article about, like, yeah, that time Floyd got dazed by Shane Mosley in the second round. Y'all remember that? Yeah, that was wild, wasn't it?
Man, niggas having ill-mannered
celebrations. Nah, you right. It was 2010.
Yeah, because it was, like, right after I left ESPN. It was, like, around that time. That's why I was like, yeah, 2010.
Okay. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, just catching you up. Can you talk about the NBA? This nigga Rome called Brad. called Brad. You know he ain't got no sense, Sean. He called him basketball's Kirk Cousins, John.
Hey,
just a nigga who get paid with no motherfucking responsibility.
No responsibility, young.
Yeah.
Who was saying that Brad's like the highest paid nigga in the league, but like the third best player on his team? I was like, yeah, well.
Yeah, dog. He got the best job in the league, huh?
Yeah.
Man, they coming to snipe KD. Then they coming to snipe Devin Young, man.
Yeah.
He be at his locker like, man, look. If I can get dressed real quick, young, I can get out of here with no war wounds, young.
Hey, so we gave this nigga a no trade clause in his contract, you know? That's how scared the Wizards were of losing Brad Beal. Brad Beal. Like, I'm glad, like, the whole world is finally seeing. Like, I've known, you know, like, sometimes I used to think, am I taking crazy pills? Because everybody tell me, like, Brad. Like, no. He cannot be your best player. And apparently he can't be your third best player. He can't be counted on to do it. He a volume nigga. But he can't be volume, like, on a team like this. You got to be the playmaker of efficient score. He not that, never has been that. It's a bad fit, but it also is like,
I think that's the main thing. It's a bad fit. Like, this ain't his fault, you know.
But
yeah,
you're not helping. You got to find ways to help. But see, his game that it's not catered to it. Number one, but number two, like his mentality and like doesn't really match his talent level. And I'm not calling him scrub. I never thought that Brad was sorry. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But you're paying him like, and I've always said when he was with the Wizards, like they're paying him like he's one of the top 10 players in the league, minimally. And he's not really a top 20 player. But you expect that of him because you look at his contract.
Yeah, that's just what the Wizards do, though. We talked about that, too. That's what they do. Going back to Juwan, you know. They pay their top player, you know.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, he can be your top player, but is he a top player? And that's always been my problem with, like, how they've been doing this for decades. Going back to John, that's like, it didn't matter who the GM was. It's like, they're always trying to build for, like, a 3-4 year stretch. Instead of trying to build this thing with some sort of semblance of like, hey, this is going to be the team we're going to rock out with for the next 6-7 years. Like what Oklahoma, like how Oklahoma City's like built their team. They're going to try to ride this out as far as it could take them. But at least they had a plan in place. We've never had plans in place, like long-term plan, because everybody's always trying to protect their job, keep their job. Let's just keep this afloat. And that's how you end up playing Brad what you paid him. When he's not the type of dude that you should be giving that type of contract to.
Yeah, team. Go ahead, Tom.
It was kind of the perfect storm, too, though, if you think about it. Like, you know, they were, a middle of the pack playoff team. And then when John started, you know, having injury problems or whatever, you know, it was always, yeah, man, if we could just, like, either get another player or Brad could reach that next level and shit. And when John got hurt, man, like, Brad just had open range and shit, man. So, you know, just like,
Tone.
You just want that volume shit, man. And he was just elated. He was able to do anything. He was a kid in the candy store, young. So he got to handle the ball. So, of course, his fucking numbers are going to go up.
Right.
And shit. And, you know, at that point, that's a wet dream for a damn agent, you know? Like, man, you can say what you want to say, man. These are the fucking numbers. And, like, pay my nigga. And it was no pushback from them, man.
Tone, but that's the thing. You should have realized then that team that you had with him as the alpha, he's the number one option, that team isn't good enough to win anything.
Yeah.
That's when you trade him. That's when you fleece somebody at the trade deadline. Give me a starter, a top reserve, and 2 draft picks. You can have them. But that's how you, like, jumpstart a rebuild. That's how you potentially have more than one lottery pick, so you could possibly get Wimby. Like, I don't know.
So what did they trade him for? What y'all get for him?
I don't even fuck. Like, it was some trash. Like, it ended up being like next to damn nothing.
Like, y'all get no number ones.
Oh, we ain't getting shit for Brad Beal, yo.
No, I don't believe that.
I honestly don't remember. I thought they did get a number one, but I mean, he's had injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
He could have just been a straight up like salary exchange. Where it's like the Wizards going to get some contracts that expire like, you know, 1 or 2 years before Brad's does, and it was worth it because that contract's so bad.
Okay. The Suns are sending six. Oh, gosh. No. 6 second-round draft picks and four first-round picks to the Wizards.
Four?
First-round pick swaps.
Oh, okay. Swaps. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that ain't nothing.
Exactly.
I mean, but if they go into the late 2020s, John, Phoenix looking bad, you know.
Yeah, because the swaps are 24, 26, 28, and 30.
It ain't no conditions on those swaps, yeah. It's just like, you bad, give us your pick.
Yeah.
I mean, the Suns are
them swaps in 2028.
Swaps, yeah.
Yeah, we sizing them swaps, yeah.
Right. Kenny, you usually had a vision for this, yeah. It's funny until it's a motherfucking African dribbling right now. Who gonna be worth that pick?
Yeah, dog. I hope I'm alive.
It's about to be World War III, you know?
Nah, I just hope, nigga, you know, I'm black, you know, get to that age, you know?
Go ahead, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I hope I'm alive, you know, by that swap in 2030, you know?
Yeah.
I remember this episode, he's calling them swaps, you know?
Yeah, it definitely is called them swaps, you know? Hey,
I'm really confused by you laughing, you know, because that ain't too far away, you know.
Like I said, yeah. I hope I'm still here, yeah.
In 2030, you know, Kenny going to be sizing that Yanni Yamba, you know?
No, bullshit.
That Yanni Yamba, you know? Like, yeah, we about to get that Yanni Yamba, you know?
See?
We going to exercise that swap.
See, swaps. It's funny. This would be the one that you don't believe, and they gonna get like two or three good picks in a row, because Phoenix gonna be trash.
Oh man.
Devin Booker gonna be 32 years old and mad.
Yeah.
Because he ain't got nobody with him.
Mm-hmm.
He gonna ask for a trade, and they gonna be bad, you know.
Kenny Toon will be changed like shit. Like, yeah, y'all got that swap. Like, yeah, that's what you do.
No bullshit.
That's what you do.
He gonna be like, remember I said them swaps was good?
Yeah. Like,
motherfucking Danny gonna be like, nope, because episode 623, you said it wasn't good. So,
like, Danny nah, Bush I named the episode. I knew it was good.
Oh, man.
You can't say shit on these shows, you know. Danny and Bushrod be on your ass, you know.
Pull that motherfucking episode, you know. Time stamp, you know.
Yeah, you ever seen that little meme with that motherfucking poodle with them glasses on? He be in that library, you know, looking at he be researching. that's Danny and Bush, you know. They be having them gilded specs on you.
Yeah.
Well, actually.
Oh man. But nah,
that's a problem.
I ain't want to interrupt you.
Now, you know? Yeah.
When you talking, but no bullshit. Brad had two straight up butt naked open jumpers last night. Yeah, you know? I was about to text you, Kenny. You know? Because it reminded me of, like, when we talked shit about them back in the day, it looked like them, you know. They looked sweet leaving his hand. They just didn't go in, you know.
Yeah. Sweetest looking bricks you ever seen, you know.
And they were bricks, too. They bounced hard as shit off the rim. I was like, damn, you ain't even getting no rattle out. Nothing. It was just, it hit the rim and just went away, you know. Yeah. I said, God damn, you know. Brad just, his touch off or something. Ain't no backspin on that bitch or something.
That's when he just trying to get him up, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know what? I don't know when next time I'm going to shoot, so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the second one, he ain't had no confidence in it.
Nah, like, he was shooting it. Yeah, I'm just getting it up. Yeah,
yeah, he was in the corner, book hit him, and, yeah, I knew he ain't had no chance. I said he didn't even look like he wanted to shoot that motherfucker.
Yep. It's getting shot.
But, yeah, me and Tone was talking about who going to get cooked. And so, yeah, it's going to be KD, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Wright on his ass right now. Colin Cowherd on his ass. Like, he getting cooked already. Series ain't even over.
Yeah. They don't help that. Yeah. They was calling him old and all that shit.
Man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he getting it right now. They got, the grease is on, yeah.
Kenny, that's not even the worst, Sean. Like, not even watching none of this shit, young. Like, it's going through all the socials. But when he said that shit, KD started looking up and smiling, young. Mm-hmm. I was like, nah, you can't do that, young. Can't do that, young. And I know these niggas ain't Kobe, young. Kobe would have been seething, young. And, like, today, the conversation would have been, yeah, look at Kobe all mad and shit. But, yeah, that's what the fuck he's supposed to be, young. If you that nigga, young, if you him, you're supposed to get mad when this nigga talking shit to you, dog. He's smiling. But still got more games to play, man. But yeah, like Sam said, man, the fact that Ant played well and they still beat them handily, young, it doesn't bode well for them moving forward.
Yeah, I mean Ant didn't play bad last night. I mean, he's a legit two-way player now anyway, so it's hard for him to have a bad game. Because even if he not scoring, he going to give you something. But, his shot just wasn't falling last night. And he was cool facilitating because Jaden McDaniels had it going. Like, he had to have at least four assists to Jaden McDaniels. You know? He just kept feeding him. But for him not to explode yet and they down, like, 0-2, yeah, that's not good. So I don't know how Phoenix gonna get a win, because Minnesota is—they not playing around. Like, they real intense, you know. They're watching pretty much every series. They the team that look like they not bullshitting the most. Every possession is focused. Every try for a stop is focused. Like, when they sense they really need a stop, yeah, they putting the clamps down. And, you know, any kind of injury to Denver withstanding, I'm looking forward to seeing them try to beat Denver. It's going to be good, you know. Because he going to guard Murray. I want to see it. I want to see it, you know. I want to see if he can slow him down. I want
to see it, man.
He 22. He got the energy to go full throttle on both ends, you know, and he doing it.
Yep.
He is disrupting shit. Yeah, so I want to see what he do against Murray, and I want to see what Rudy can do to slow down Joker, you know? The other three guys on the court with them two going to have to do something. But that's the thing, you know? Like, Gordon and Michael Porter Jr., you know, they dependable now, you know? So, and then KCP. Hey, man, that's usually what they close with, you know?
Crazy, yeah.
That's not bad. I mean, if you close out on all of them, the best you can hope for in that situation is Gordon with an open three. And I think Gordon hitting like 36, 37 on his threes, you know? He shoots them with confidence. It ain't like it's going to be like, that's the shot we want. But that's the best you can hope for. And you can't close him out too fast. You close him out too fast, he about to dunk on somebody. But yeah, I can't wait to see that series. That'll be a great series.
All right. What other intriguing series do we have here in the first round?
I want to see if Philly can come back from down 0-2. Yeah, no, everybody mad. Like, sure, they should have been tied. But, you know, they ain't get the call or whatever. If I was a Philly fan, I'd be mad as fuck. Because, you know, it was one of those situations where the NBA is like, yeah, you know, they should have called a foul or whatever. Yeah. It was three things that went wrong on one possession, and the NBA was like, yeah, the officials got it wrong. So if they'd have done any of those three things, yeah, Philly would have won the game. So, yeah, Philly fans mad about that, but I want to see if Embiid's body can hold up where he can, you know, have a few, you know, transcendent games to, you know, get them over the top. It's just round one, but shit, they gonna need to do something. But yeah, that's an interesting series for sure. I stayed up and watched Dallas and the Clippers last night. That's a good series. Kawhi don't look like Kawhi, but people saying it's rust. It looked physical, you know. He had no lift. None. He was pushing off to get separation, you know.
These niggas get like, quick as shit now, you know.
Yeah, I ain't never seen Kawhi fully extend his arm before he shoots his mid-ranger, you know. P.J. Washington was on his ass, and he pushed off to get a jumper off, you know. I said, Like, okay. That's something to keep an eye on. So, yeah, that's a good series. Who else playing? New Orleans playing OKC. I think they come on after this. That was a good game one. Apparently, Zion could possibly come back later in that series if he goes that far. He had a hamstring injury in the play-in game. But, yeah, man, I tell you what, though. I never thought I'd be saying this, man, but New Orleans need to get rid of Brandon Ingram. For his sake and theirs, man, while he still got some value, they can still get a first rounder for him.
Why you say that?
Trey Murphy better than him, you know. That need to be Trey Murphy's spot right there. He's just flat out better than him. I know B.I. coming off an injury. He's coming off multiple injuries this season. So it could just be physical, but just as far as fit, he not a knockdown shooter. Trey Murphy is. And Trey, you actually gaining in athleticism and defense with Trey Murphy out there in that spot. So I think they can get even better by getting rid of B.I. and probably bringing in two more pieces and a first round pick for him if he still has that much value around the league, which, you know, being like 20, I think he's 27 now, he's still young enough. I think he probably is. He can bring in that. But yeah, I don't think it's New Orleans time, and that's a move they can make to accelerate their process for being a legit contender. OKC just need time. Like, they got everything. They got everything, you know. I can't think of one thing they missing, you know. Probably a little more shooting, but not really.
Experience, yeah.
Just going to take a little more time. So, but, yeah, I mean, Boston and the Heat playing right now. I'm barely watching. The Heat trying, but I think Boston going to eventually come back and win this game. I think they had like a 9-point lead on the Celtics. Boston just outgunned in that series, man. Even if they win a game, you know, they might win a game. Only thing gonna stop Boston in the East is an injury, yeah. So we'll see. Indiana beat Milwaukee last night to tie that series. Apparently, Pacers players was talking shit. So Bobby Portis was mad about that. I was like, okay, that series couldn't be like. It couldn't be any more boring. I don't give a fuck who said what, man. Like, I don't even know why they was reporting it. Like, that's going to make somebody care. But Siakam is looking like a great pickup for the Pacers. So, we'll see if they can win it. And Giannis don't look like he coming back at all.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Damn. They say he not even running and jumping yet.
Damn.
Series gonna be over next week, dog.
Shit, that sucks.
Yeah, I'm talking like even if it goes 7, like next Friday or so, like the series over. Mm-hmm. It might be before then. Shit, I ain't looked at the schedule, but shit, it's only 5 more games, man. Play that over like 8-9 days. So, if he ain't running or jumping yet. That ain't looking good. They say he was doing some light shooting. So, yeah, man. But Dame has acquitted himself. Like, shit. He won him the first game, and then, like, he balled out last night. So, I'm not sure what else he can do.
Anything else?
I think that was all the series. I tried to remember all of them. If I missed any, oh well.
Yeah. All right. Kenny.
Yo.
Want to congratulate you on the cast for that that college segment you did on the NIL and transfer portal
nice.
Last week on 24/7 Sports. What was it, like 3 hours?
3 hour show, dog. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So,
for real? Whoa.
Yeah, man. I threw that.
That's as long as y'all ever done?
Nah. It's
a 5 hour joint on there, right?
I did a 3 hour joint. That one last week. That was 3 hours. The last show. That was 3 hours. I did that one. That was the last signing day show. That was back in February. That was 3. The longest we did has been 7. I did a whole 7-hour show by myself. The first Grand Supporter show we did. And 7 hours straight live. So, yeah. That's what I've been really tired, you know. Yeah, like it just takes a lot out of you and doing stuff like that, man. So, yeah. But I'm glad you watch, man, and you got something out of it. It was intentional. Like, I wanted to have those types of conversations during the show because I think there's a lot of stuff that's going on in college sports that I think the casual fan doesn't really quite understand. Like, they, you know, they see all these court cases and they see this change and that change, NIL, transfer portal, and all this stuff. And I think it's a lot for people to kind of taking who may not be paying attention to it like all the time, and then you get like these big events, like you have signing day, you have the opening of the transfer portal, and a lot of times, like, you know, stuff is happening, people don't really know exactly all that's going on. So I wanted to make sure that I gave it enough, you know, time to kind of have those conversations, let them breathe a little bit, so people can like really get a clear understanding of what's going on, why it's going on, and what can be done about it. So
yeah. So I definitely pass it along. My man Steve at work. And yeah, man, I was up in this joint cooking. Yeah, I cooked. Shit. Went out for a run. Listened to it before I went to run and shit, you know, doing some work, whatever. Came back, cooked and shit, man. Was cleaning up and shit, man. That joint was still going. I was like, man, this shit got to be like 3-4 hours. And it was 3 hours, y'all.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, but you know. Really good information, though, man. If you're a college football junkie, especially, man, you know, I'm just a novice junkie or whatever, man. But, you know, been a lot more interested in the past few years and shit. I got something out of it, so.
That's the thing I wanted to do. Like, I always got to remind people that just because you know, work in this and you, like, this is your livelihood. So, like, of course, you have to pay attention to what's going on with it. Just don't assume that people are tuning into these big tentpole shows and they know about just as much of the stuff as you do. So I always think about, like, the stuff like this. I want to make sure that the casual fan who may just be paying attention to this one show because of, you know, the day that it is, they may see a trend on Twitter. Like, they didn't know today was the opening of the transporter. They didn't know today was National Signing Day. But we have a 3-hour show devoted to just this. Let's kind of explain to people what exactly is going on here. So.
Yeah. I fuck with my man, too, with the Aaron Hall EKs, you know?
Yeah. He from St. Louis, man. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That guy was the joints in the Detroit. What they call them? The Buffs?
Buffs, Sean.
Yeah. Yeah. Those St. Louis Buffs. I don't know.
Is that PC, young St. Louis Buffs, Sean?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, the Detroit niggas done ran with that shit. Motherfucker, I don't know if y'all know the battle rapper Calico. Like, I've been wearing Buffs the whole time.
Yeah.
It's a thing, yo.
And real quick, that reminds me, if you're a college basketball fan, I did an hour today on, because transfer portal is open right now in college basketball, too. So, yeah, we did a whole hour on that stuff, too. So, a lot of recruiting nuggets, transfer portal nuggets. If you're a Duke fan, Kentucky fan, Michigan fan, Kansas fan, if you're interested in what's going on the portal, where people are visiting, going, top 24 kids are still available, Baron Filon, Liam McNeely, Jaden Quaintance, Boogie Flan. There's all types of stuff in there, so check that out, too.
All right.
Huggy right. Should listen so he can hear who he ain't getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just had to stick that dagger in there, didn't you, Shyamala? Huh.
Yeah. Back to the projects for my dog, you know. I can't believe it, you know. We just keep DMing each other, you know. Every time he get a little fucked up transfer, I'm just like, man, I can't believe this is happening, you know. Like, we just started the show, you know, and y'all sorry? Like, what the fuck we gonna do? He say, I'ma just be listening to you talk for an hour about who y'all getting, you know? I say, yeah, you know, I say, we just gonna have to play it by ear, you know? We can't do no show of Kentucky sorry, you know?
The show gonna be a fucking CA. Holding that picture like Wolverine on the bed, yeah.
Yeah. This shit just unbelievable, yeah.
It's gonna be a picture of Tubby Smith, yeah. Like they gonna be longer for them days, yeah.
That nigga said he gonna have to milk motherfucking Dillingham and Shepherd until he a senior citizen, yeah. That's his last gasp, yeah.
Damn.
But he gotta hope they real good, you know, because he know they ain't getting no more. That shit crazy, you know. I looked. He sent me a link to some transfer they got, man. I just shook my head, man. I said, this is crazy. I think it was some, like a 3-star from BYU, you know. I said, I can't believe this done happened this quick. You know, we was just laughing at the idea of how stupid they would be to get rid of Kyle, you know. And Kyle don't care. He laughing, just scooping up old recruits and shit. Every time I see him, he's smiling, you know. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Oh, well, everybody. All right, draft is in a couple of days. Kenny, is it this week or next week?
I think it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay, right, yeah. Yeah. No, I didn't tune that shit off. Like, I'm just tired of hearing about who the Giants going to draft or move up to get.
You about to go to a draft, Conway?
Dog, not, today they said Penix, Sean. I was like, man, get this off my TV. Just leave me alone until we draft somebody, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Tomorrow, even.
Yeah. Where is it?
It's in Detroit.
Okay. Because last year was Nashville, right?
Hell nah.
Oh.
It wasn't Nashville last year?
Nashville was like three, four years ago.
Okay. Because I know, like, draft day, like, is a whole big fucking production now. It should be having a motherfucking... Yeah. Opening I'm blown. Acts and stages and shit.
Yeah, I'm blown. I ain't go now, you know.
Yeah, like, that shit look fun as fuck,
you know? Yeah. I had an opportunity to go, and yeah, I'm blown.
He was humbugging it, you know?
I ain't really know, like, work and all that shit, and I was like, man. Yeah. Yeah. Not gonna win. Nah, I'm blown. I'm not going there.
Yeah, it's a full-blown spectacle now, you know? But, yeah, thank goodness, man. So we see all these motherfucking quarterbacks get traded up to get and shit now. Like, Penix at 6, man? Nigga, let the Giants do that, yo. Fuck out of here, yo.
Would you rather have him or J.J. McCarthy, though?
Neither. Mm. J.J.'s my man, young, but I don't wish that on him, young.
He your man or?
Nah. Not like Brad is your man.
Okay.
Yeah. Not like Melo's your man. Not like John's your man. No, JJ's my dog, young. Yeah.
Nah, John is my dog, though, you know. Nah, for real. Mm-hmm. Yeah, John's always been my dog, you know. But, yeah, there's a very real possibility y'all do end up taking a quarterback in the first round, so I just want you to be prepared, you know.
He used that fucking 6 pick, young. I swear to goodness, Sean.
What you don't like about Penix, though?
He not it.
Hmm.
Make it. I don't.
He's better than motherfucking Daniel Jones, though.
Talk about that. Yeah, whatever. You talk about that shit, like, with fucking Brad being a volume shit, man. A lot of these fucking quarterbacks throw the ball so much, so goddamn much in college, young. Can make all the mistakes they want to, throwing 50-50 balls and shit, man. Like, them shits is turnovers in the fucking league, you know? Just bad decisions that nobody corrects in fucking college because you gotta throw the ball 50 times a game and shit, you know? Squad niggas be looking for quarterbacks every year.
Hmm.
So, nah, I'm cool on that, you know?
So, like, so Tone, you still got some faith in Jones, you know?
I got some hope that we can write an offensive line so anybody back there would have a chance, Sean. But we've made some moves in the offseason and shit, man. But, like, you can't succeed without a good offensive line. And I'm tired of going through this for the past, like, 7-8 years. Like, man, we wasted the back end of fucking Eli's career because we didn't want to. They refused to, like, improve the offensive line. Well, they tried to, young, but they just kept on making the wrong moves. Like, the Nate Solder move still baffles me, young. This nigga was good as shit defending Tom, protecting Tom and shit, and then he just fell off a fucking cliff and shit, man, when he came to us. Like, you know, Andrew Thomas is like the one bright spot right now, bro. I kind of like Michael Schmidt, who's our center and shit. He got injured last year, but Like, those are two pieces on the offensive line that I'm confident in and shit, man. Everything else, dog, like, Evan Neal, ugh. First round pick, Sean. Eric Flowers some years ago, like, dog. Bill Hernandez, like, dog, these picks are bad. So, I don't wish any more quarterbacks to go through that shit until we can write the offensive line. So, that's it.
Yeah. I just asked because I was watching a segment on ESPN, and I forget who it was, but it was some people on there still defending him, you know. And they were just saying, like, he's never had a good receiving core. Of course, like, no line. He's like, it's just hard to evaluate him.
It is, huh?
So, it really is. I was just wondering where you were with it.
And, like, you know, sadly, at this point, he might just be damaged goods. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
But if he's going to be damaged goods, like, fine. You know, not to be mean and shit. Let him continue to get fucked up and then draft somebody when we're ready to fucking, like, protect him and shit. Like, David Carr syndrome is real, man. Nigga never had a fucking chance.
Yeah, that's. I was just about to say, like, we, you know, we've lived long enough to see quarterbacks who, you know, are clearly talented, but they just went into fucked up situations. Yeah. And, you know, confidence is everything, you know, for a young athlete. And, you know, you get off to the wrong foot, you got to be a strong-willed motherfucker to dig yourself out of that.
You really do, you know. As great as he was, young, like, Tom Slewfoot Ash Young with that offensive line that we've had the past fucking 7-8 years, young, like, he wouldn't have been no motherfucking GOAT, young. He'd been getting fucked up.
Yeah. Hey, look, I think, like I said, it can happen to anybody, man, in any sport. I've seen some talented people, like, just didn't blossom because of the situation. And I've heard, you know, enough athletes say that, man. Like, you know, niggas always say some shit like politics. But it really be happening to people, man. Like, you just go to a bad situation and you don't pop for whatever reason. And people be calling you a bust and shit. And it's like, it happens, you know.
Yeah. That's why, like
it would just suck if Daniel Jones never really got a number one receiver and, you know, he becomes a journeyman, yeah. Because he never had a real chance. And whoever they get the next motherfucker, like, go ahead.
Yeah, just like last year going to the fucking draft, just because it was such a fucking anomaly and shit, man. I was like, man, I will wait to evaluate this Wembanyama shit until I find out what team he goes to, you know. Because that shit could have always ended, like, with somebody just overusing him, and he... You know, that tall is easy to get fucked up, you know. I mean, he's still not, you know, out of the blue and shit, man. But he went to the perfect place for him to have the best chance to be what he's going to be, you know. Because Pop don't play with that shit, dog. He going to protect his motherfucking young stud, man, and bring him along right now.
I even like the way they were training him, like physical conditioning, you know. He wouldn't even want the weights like that, you know. This nigga was doing calisthenics and working with the bands. Mm-hmm. He'd say big-ass bands wrapped around his legs, stretching, you know. Well, like trying whatever. To pull them apart, like resistance training. I was like, yeah, okay.
Whatever, you know. Like, that motherfucker one of the best fucking, like, handful of coaches ever, you know. Like, he knows something we don't, you know. So I trust that shit in his hands.
Yeah. But yeah, man. Like, yeah, I just hope they hook Jones up, man. Even somebody like Cade Cunningham taking it back to basketball, you know. Like, if Pistons don't, like, either get rid of him or, like, he can be sorry soon. He can just fit in. Like, I think he's a top tier talent, you know. But he's in a terrible situation and keep getting injured. Or LaMelo with the Hornets. You see it all over sports, you know. Just talented people, like, and people probably listening, like, well, Daniel Jones ain't that. I don't know, you know. I don't know, yeah. He throwing the motherfucking, I guess, people was talking about Darren Waller was supposed to help. Wouldn't he hurt again?
I mean, Darren Waller always hurt, you know.
Yeah, so, whatever.
And as we find out, he's going through some shit, man. Him and his wife have been married for 1 year. They're getting divorced already, you know.
Yeah, I saw.
That's some fucked up shit, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our second segment, entertainment, and what y'all watching?
The end of the final episode of Shogun was like that, yeah.
All right, so real quick, Sam, I seen one episode, you know, because everybody talking about this motherfucking Thrones with Swords, you know, even though they had swords and thrones. But
they
know.
Did. Better swords fight than this too. Yeah, way better.
Like, they're like, nah, man, it's just good. I'm like, do they have dragons? Because if they don't, it's not as good. So just let it be a good show, young. But stop with the Thrones talk, young. Please.
Yeah, it's not close to that.
Okay. But I did get, like, towards the end of episode one, I said, okay, I can kind of see where this is going. So, I'm going to get into it, but not before I get into some other stuff, which I'll talk about in a minute. But go ahead, though.
Yeah, man, if you're familiar with the show, like, a white, like an English, like, traitor, pirate, whatever you want to call him, I thought he was just, like, a traitor. Like a merchant vessel, like, he becomes stranded on the island of Japan, and they get captured by one of the clans, and he just kind of gets, you know, taken in by this clan and, like, caught up in, like, this whole, like, budding war among the factions on the island, and he becomes like a council of sorts to the leader of this clan. I forgot. I think his name, you know, we don't know shit. No names, yeah. It's Lord something. He worked, it's my man who from the John Wick series. He was the father in the last one. The who ran the hotel. That dude. Yeah. So, yeah. So he's the leader of this joint. And my man, they call him Anjin or something. Anjin, yeah. A-N-G-I-J-I-N. And I forgot. I think it basically means just like foreigner, like some shit like that. But yeah, man, he gets taken in and, you know, so that's the A story. But, you know, the B story is like he has like this budding like love affair with his consort and translator. And yeah, they finally did the nasty in the last episode, man. And I'm glad they didn't stretch that shit out over like seasons. I hate when they do that. You know, I had Tim Hall, the People's Critic, on what you've been watching, and yeah, we was talking about that, man. Like, you know, they consummated like their, you know, like little love affair or whatever, but you knew something bad was gonna happen, because if it happens in the first season, like either that can happen at the end of a series where these two people who were meant to be together like finally get together and that's the end of it, because if it happened early, tragedy gonna strike. Like that's just basic storytelling, you know, because it has nowhere else to go. So yeah, they, you know, they hooked up and something bad happened, you know. So, in the next season, man, like, dude gonna be on the warpath, you know. So, I think he gonna actually learn how to sword fight and be in some battles, you know, because he's sorry right now, you know. He don't do nothing but roll around a big-ass cannon trying to blow people up, you know. He took a cannon from his ship, and they use it in their little battle scenes and shit, you know. I'm like, you're not even out there fighting, you know. You organizing cannon fire, you know. So I think he going to learn how to fight for real, you know.
Nigga like the nigga from Akari Warriors when he getting that tank, you know. Yeah, that tank used to be like that, yo.
That's pretty good, you know. But yeah, you know, them niggas be out there fighting like shit, man. He be like, get in formation. Be like, nigga, come on, yo. So anyway, that joint good. Another joint I talked about with Tim, yeah. This joint, Netflix, yeah, they on a roll right now, you know. You just gotta dig through it, you know. They like some motherfucking shoes at Marshall or TJ Maxx, you know. Yep. You dig through them, you might get a hit, you know. But this joint called Baby Reindeer, it was actually their number one watched show last week. Or over the weekend. She saw it.
On telling me to watch that. She'd be like, you ain't stop Baby Reindeer yet.
Hey, Tone. This nigga, Sean, watching it right now, Sean the Terrible, he texted me. He's like, man, y'all talked about it enough. I'm getting into it. He was like, man, episode one. He was like, I'm in. I said, yeah, it's going to get bad. I said, and don't say I didn't warn you. It get real dark, you know.
For real?
Like, yeah. Yeah, just like depths of humanity dark, you know. Okay. And I was like, you know, I'm recommending it to people, but I'm like, dog, it starts out like funny and weird and quirky and shit. It's about this aspiring comedian. I don't know how much your homegirl told you, but that's what it's about. He's an aspiring comedian, and he's lacking confidence on stage. He's not sure, like, his act is connecting with people. And he works at a bar to support himself during the day. And one day, like, this this weird chick walks in and just becomes attached to him. She kind of becomes like his stalker in a way, and she goes to one of his shows, and she, you know, she's just very supportive of him, and she starts yelling from the crowd, like encouraging him, and you know, they start to play off each other, like, and it gives him confidence, like he doing crowd work with her, like they joking around, and the audience start laughing, and then he goes into his act, and he has like all these little motherfucking you know, like motherfucking Carrot Top guy. Like, he got props. A trunk full of shit. He got all his props, shit. So, you know, and he kind of hits his stride as an artist, man. And but it becomes like this real psychological thing because he want to get rid of her now. It's like he don't need her no more. And then, like, you know, he gets police involved. He gets rid of her pretty much, I guess. Like, she's still lurking, but then his act starts to fail. And then he gets involved with somebody who don't have his best interest at heart. And, like, that's a real fucked up scene. It's like some Diddy type shit, you know? So he loses his confidence. He loses his manhood, you know? And this chick just, like, still supporting him, and psychologically, like, he starts to, like, need her, like, but she not good for him because she crazy, you know. She crazy. So yeah, I don't want to give more away than that. But yeah, it's a good show, man. Like, I really fucks with it. I think it's like six episodes. It's like a miniseries. It's based on a true story. That's what really fucked me and Tim up. Tim was like, I couldn't stop thinking about that this was based on, like, someone's life. Like, Yeah. That it's crazy though.
Sound like some damn Joker origin story shit, man.
Not really, other than like he's a, you know, like a comedian, but it's dark, you know. It's dark. And he's not a psycho. Like, he's not trying to harm anyone.
Oh, it's her.
But that chick is, you know. She a great villain, you know. This character and the actress who played her, like, you know, like, yeah, me and Tim were blown away by her, the actress, you know. She was fully committed to this role. She was crazy for real, you know. So, yeah, that was another good show I watched. And there was something else I watched on Netflix, but I forget. Netflix still need to fix their their splash page, you know.
Don't do it. I mean,
they got the circle up there, you know.
Yeah. It's not great, but it's still not as bad as fucking Prime, though, yeah.
You think so?
Man, I be missing so much shit on Prime, young. Like, if it ain't their marquee show for, like, the month or whatever, young, that shit can get lost, young.
But, see, I think Prime do a good job of putting their marquee shows right there, which Netflix doesn't. Netflix, man, you can miss, like, the shows that are, unless they in, like, the top 10.
Yeah.
But sometimes their best shows aren't in the top 10. Like, the shows I would hear about on Twitter, like, or someone's mentioned them to me, it'd be, like, months after someone's mentioned them to me, and they not in the top 10 no more, you know? But with Prime, like, Invincible, always right. It's just a few clicks away, you know? It's a few scrolls away. You hit that bitch over, like, you know, you punch the arrow to the left or right, it's going to flip around, you're going to see Invincible. Fallout, all it's been there.
Yeah, I was waiting for you. You watch that yet?
Yeah, I'm finished. Joint like
man,
that.
Man, Goggins' one-liners in that joint so good, young.
Hey, man. Goggins is a given. You know who had me laughing like shit, and his scene was quick, young. That goddamn doctor Tone, who fixed the little, what was his name? I forgot his name, but he was like from the Knights of the Brotherhood, yeah. The little weasel, yeah.
My father from what? From Lost?
Mm-mm. Was he from Lost? No, not dude who got his head chopped off.
Okay.
I'm talking about the doctor, so. Remember, they call him little fake ass Jonathan Majors, you know. So, the dude who stole the robot, go ahead, you know. Hey,
yeah, ahead, I know everybody was thinking that watching this shit too, yeah.
But his friend, the one he admitted to that he stole the robot suit.
Yeah.
So yeah, him, the little white guy who like shut his suit down and ran away and left him to die, and he stomped on his foot and broke his shit up. So he found that doctor, and the doctor he gave him some of that ghoul juice, you know?
Yeah. that motherfucking grifter, young. That grifter was good, young.
Hey, young. That doctor had me laughing like shit, man. Yeah.
Cause that first scene when I want to call this nigga Majors now. When he saved the other dude, yeah, he was like, yeah, man. He's like, what'd he do anyway? He's like, yeah, he was fucking my donkeys or some shit, yeah. He's like, oh.
Oh my goodness, yo.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. But yeah. I like the comedic overtones on this show. Like, that shit didn't necessarily work for that shit. What's that bullshit Mackie did? The clown ice cream truck show. You know the name of that shit, man.
Hey, duh, I was about to say something real fucked up. Hold on, let me see what this shit called, yeah.
You gotta Mackie, tell us what you was gonna say.
I was gonna say afterwards, Mackie show on
ice cream truck. Oh, okay.
They gonna put no
blood. I don't even remember the network because I didn't watch it. I told y'all I wasn't gonna watch it, you know.
God damn it, won't even show this shit. This one put Mac A in with an A Y in. Anthony Mackie Peacock Show. Twisted Metal, yeah. Twisted
okay,
Metal,
yeah.
Saying. Yeah, I was about to call that shit Full Metal Car, yeah.
Hey, yo. Come on, yo.
I knew it was a metal in there, yeah. I was like, nah, it's not Full Metal Jacket, yeah. I'm like, the Full Metal Car?
Full Metal Car, yeah. That sound crazy. Yeah, that sound like some Tubi shit, you know.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Full Metal Car is pretty good. You know?
Yeah, but dog, this shit got me in my fucking sci-fi bag, you know, because it started with fucking Dune, you know. Like, I was obsessed with Dune for like a month, you know. So mm-hmm. I was looking at all them fucking YouTubes and deep dives and shit. Then this nigga Marvin got me watching. I had to fucking stop watching these damn deep dives of Invincible and shit, man. Like, they can have like 15 more seasons of that fucking show, you know. It's crazy how like many fucking years that shit goes, you know. It's crazy. So I found out this damn Fallout joint, like I recognized the fucking name. I knew it was a fucking game and shit. I didn't know that joint started in like 97 and shit, man. The first game, whatever, man. So I started going down a Fallout rabbit hole and shit, man. And yeah, man, it's like, I think they're on bunker 32 or 33, man. Like, man, it's like 99 right. bunkers, you know. And all of them are like, you know, have their own fucking story and shit, man. So yeah, definitely went down a whole bunch of rabbit holes, but that Fallout shit. So I can see people who, like, you know, played the game are really interested in this fucking show, because it is, you know, that dystopian fucking story shit, dog. Like, you know, it's the thing to do now, you know.
I know. I was so pressed on. It's funny you say that word, you know. I actually went on, I went to Netflix and typed in the word dystopian, you know, to get more, like, shows. Mm-hmm. Just more content with that theme.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I came across this movie called Voyages with Colin Farrell, you know. I'm in the middle of watching that now. It's actually real good, you know. It's like the earth is dying, and they send, like, a colony of kids to this planet that's, like, 83 years away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's real good, you know.
I'm going to put it on the list, too, young, because after watching these joints, I go to one of the channels I go to is Recaps and Chill. And it just be like, you know, just giving you an overview of it, but it's like an in-depth joint. So these joints be like anywhere from like 20 to 40 minutes to like explain the whole fucking series and shit, man. So then I start looking at their playlist and shit, man. It all scrolled to this joint called Helgoland 513, young. But it's only on the Sky Network. So it's like in some European language and shit, man. I went to every fucking site that I knew of, and they don't have any fucking English translations and shit. It was on Apple TV as a purchase, like, last year, but they took it off, and there's no fucking English translation. So I just watched the whole recap and shit, and it was like a whole, like, the rest of the world had this terrible-ass virus and shit, and then people, like, who weren't sick went to this fucking, this island, in Europe or whatever, and, because they didn't have enough resources for, so many people, whatever, they kept the number of people who were alive, able to be alive on the island, to 513. Every time a child was born, like, somebody had to die, and they were like, they used their caste system to, like, you know, take down, like, the lowest person,
right?
You know, if you committed a crime and shit, like, you got knocked down. If you did a good deed, you got bumped up, man. And, like, this girl gave birth and shit, man. Her grandfather was crying. He was so happy and shit, but he's like, yep, I gotta go, though. So this nigga walked off a motherfucking cliff, you know, and he got fucked up bumping into all them goddamn rigid parts of the motherfucker, the rock and shit, whatever, man. And then it was just like a big ass gasp, young. Why does bitch have twins, young? So everybody got scared, young. Cause somebody else had to go, young.
Okay.
It just went on from there, young. But it's no fucking English translation joint for it, though, dog. Like, so I just had to watch the recap. And from there, young, like, I didn't finish Madfest last year, so I watched that whole shit show of a recap. That shit was funny. And I watched the recap of the 100, young. That shit got real stupid, young.
Oh, I should watch that. Yeah, I gave up too, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Shit. That's something I wasn't going to do, but shit, since you did, I'm curious to know what happened too, you know. I feel like I need to watch a recap of The Expanse, too, on Amazon, yeah. I tried to watch it, I just don't care. The Expanse was, like, Amazon's, like, top show for a minute, yeah.
That's good, yeah, because, like, once I got in, on a roll last night, I was like, yeah, what else I want to see that I don't want to, you know, invest no time into and shit. So I went through a couple of them joints, Sean.
Right.
But what's the other joint? So when I was hungover on Sunday, I was like, okay, this nigga at work keep on pressing me. And this nigga Kamal was like, oh, it's some next level shit, dog. I finally went back and watched Three Body Problem, you
know. Mm-hmm.
Hey,
you finished it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the next season, young.
Can't wait, dog.
Can't wait, young.
You know,
damn, that joint good, young.
Hey, Tone, that's one of them joints you feel good about yourself because you got to be smart, young.
Right, young.
I was sitting there on the couch nodding, young. Like, mm-hmm.
I get it, young.
Yep, I understand.
Dead, dog. Them aliens about to fuck us up, man. In 400 years.
Hey, Tone. Hey, Shorty, her little motherfucking nano bits was fucking people up, though, yeah.
Hey, young, when it sliced that motherfucking ship like a Ginsu, young.
Tone, when they first started, she was like, oh, it is working. They were like, because who was it? That mad ass, like, general or something, you know?
Uh-huh.
He was like, Miss So-and-so, you're blah, blah, man. She was like, it is working. She looked all sad, you know?
She said, cut it off,
man, yeah. They showed them kids running, you know? I said, oh, Lord, not the kids, you know?
Hey, young, that one kid on that ship, you know, he was like, nope, ain't no use running, you know?
Yeah, he just looked sad.
Yeah.
Poor little guy, you know? But yeah, it got our dog, you know. He tried to keep running for a minute, you know.
Yeah.
He got on his knees, you know.
He tried to run to the back of the ship.
Man.
Like it was gonna stop, you know. Them nano mics was like, nope.
Crazy, you know. Yeah. What the fuck made her think of that shit, you know?
Right.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, between her and then, you know, just the initial dumb bitch, young. Like, the alien says, like, do not answer this message or we coming to fuck you up. And she was like, come, we can't save ourselves. I was like, this bitch, young. This doomed us all, young.
Who was that, her daughter who was mad as shit at her, young?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, you done made a decision for motherfucking 7 billion people, man.
Right.
Sit your dumb ass down. Like, you don't make no more decisions now.
no more, young.
You done ruined everything, young. But you know who's going to save the day, though, young.
Brother man, yeah.
Mm-mm. No, man. Our dog who was sick. That floating head, you know.
Yeah. Hey, that's probably the most I smiled on watching that shit, dog. When they was all happy, them shits, like, that big-ass balloon made it out to, like, whatever, like, the third fucking atmosphere and shit, you know. When that one strap buckled, young, when that strap buckled, young, and the first person saw it and pointed, young, I said, it didn't work, young. All premature partying and shit, young. That strap buckled, young, I said, yeah, man. But y'all get from partying too early.
Oh, that's pretty good, young. But yeah, when that motherfucker ended, I just kept laughing. I think his name was Will, you know. I said, my dog Will is just floating around in space, you know.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so that's going to be, yeah. So apparently it's 3 books to that as well. And, the first season is the whole first book and maybe like the first or second chapter in book 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, they at least got 3 seasons of this shit, man. It's just hard getting to because it's just so much information crammed in the first 5 episodes that if you can get through that, then it catches you up and lets you, you know, catch your breath and shit and like, gather, you know, some more understanding in episode, like, between 5 and 6. But yeah, man, it's just a whole bunch of super scientific shit that if you're not paying attention and you don't like paying attention, like us, young, you can get lost real quick. And that's exactly what the fuck I did when I watched it the first time. Getting up, making some food, not paying attention, looking at my phone, be like, what the fuck? Like, y'all, of course, they time jumping shit too, man, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was all lost the first time I watched that joint, man.
Oh yeah, I mean, because the first scene is like in what, like, motherfucking, what's that, like World War II China, you know? Yeah. World War I? Yeah. I was like, I ain't signed up for this, you know. I'm impatient.
Yeah.
I huffed hard as shit during the first scene. You know, I was like, nope, this show about supposed to be about outer space and aliens, you know. Like, y'all way over here. I ain't got time for this, you know. I be impatient as I don't know what watching a show, you know. Or a movie. Yeah. It's pretty bad, you know.
Yeah, but, yeah, like I said, like, starting with Dune and shit, and now, like, Fallout and this joint, like, I'm completely in my science fiction bag. So, I done already made my mind up, you know, because motherfucking security guard at work, but he been egging me on, dog. I'm gonna go back and get Foundation a try. Yeah.
Oh, I just got that last season to watch. Yeah.
I mean, no, I know you said it was good, young, but I was like, nope, I'm done with it. Young. Didn't pull me in the first episode and a half, young. So fuck that shit, young. Too much nerd shit, dog. But like,
I watched the first episode of season 2, like a few months back. And I wasn't into it. But yeah, I was going to go back. I just haven't yet. Because I don't even know if Foundation is getting a season 3. So I might as well finish it. 2 seasons ain't shit to finish.
Yeah. Only thing I finished our joint that we was watching, the other joint on Apple about the alien invasion. Was that shit called?
Never mind. They starting a season. They already started filming season 3 of Foundation. It started in February. All right, yeah, so cool.
What was that with joint? Was it Invasion we was watching too? Like, I didn't even finish that second season.
Yeah. I thought we did because we talked about old girl big ass, you know?
Oh, yeah. But that was early on in season two. I don't think I watched. What a callback. I don't think I watched the whole season, though, yeah. I think that's probably the last episode I watched, yeah. When her big ass plopped down in that motherfucking living room, yeah.
I think I finished the season, but it wasn't a huge cliffhanger, so I don't remember what it was.
Okay. All right.
I just
the cliffhanger. Remember. Her ass was the cliffhanger.
Go ahead. You know, her ass was the mothership, you know? Spoiler alert, you know?
Them aliens in that ass.
Hey,
yeah. Oh, that's so childish.
That was crazy, man. She got up out that chair, you know?
So I watched that shit in real time. Like, nah, Tom, just scrub to that scene. Yeah. I said, okay, now hold on. Now
that shit was crazy.
hit that ding,
man. Oh man, when I first watched that shit, Tom, I was like, is a pillow still on their butt or something? Like, what's going on, man?
The funniest shit was when I went to work. I tried to like break that shit out to my man. He was like, oh yeah. So I said, yeah, dog. We all terrible. Yeah.
This is the fact. Yeah, I didn't believe they would put something like that on TV. I kept saying it. And I was like, I ain't never seen them put a black woman's ass on TV like that. You know?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like so big, I ain't never seen no shit like that before in my life. Like, I've seen that, you know. But man, the fact that they put it on TV, I was like, that's crazy.
I've seen that. It's pretty funny. Yeah, man. She had a dress on, too.
Yeah, you know, you can go to any department store and see a motherfucking middle-aged black lady with a big old ass, you know, walking around.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know. She tried to pull that little motherfucker sweater down. I was like, yeah. Come on, yeah. This is crazy, man. And they ain't shy away from it at all. They were shooting her from the back, you know? Like,
yeah.
Come on, yeah.
They had them loving hip hop cameras on.
Oh, man. But yeah, you should finish it, yeah. I don't know if they doing the season three, so you should definitely finish.
On it.
But I gotta finish watching speaking of Invincible earlier. I haven't finished that this newest season, yeah.
It's fire. So, yeah.
What'd you say?
It's fire, dog, like, man.
Okay.
Again, that's another show that gets dark, yeah.
Like, can the little blue brother fight, yeah? He got the powers.
They not going there yet, y'all. They not going there yet, man. But yeah, this shit is not for kids, huh?
Not at all. Man. Not at all, yeah. Troy tried to sit and watch it with me. I said, you gotta go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said, this not cute, you know.
Yeah.
He tried to watch that with me, and Drew had tried to watch Gen V with me.
Mm-mm.
And I was like, yeah, shorty, like, I don't think that's for you. You gotta go. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I warned her. I was like, it's going to get bad. She was like, oh, they're superhero? No. I was like, yeah, all right. I said, you going to see some motherfucking body guts spill out or something.
Yeah.
They going to get lasered in the stomach. But yeah, I gotta. There's a few shows I gotta finish, man. Trying to think of something else, like current, that I wanted to recommend to people.
Yeah, man. I was talking to Ma the other day. I was like, Young, how does half a fucking season of X-Men, how is it better than any other fucking animated series that Marvel has ever put out, you know? And it's better than all the Marvel shit in the last, like, 2-3 years, you know? Just half a season, you know?
I mean, they put some motherfucking thought into it.
Yeah. I don't know if I said it on here, but I definitely was talking to somebody. I was like, you know, they gonna have to call that motherfucking producer and ask him to come back, you know? Or beg him to come back, because he good, you know? Like, he did right by this motherfucking series, dog. And, okay, he might be an asshole, but, like, isn't everybody an asshole in Hollywood, you know? Like, man, the bottom line is, he putting out a good product, you know? At a time where y'all need that shit, you know? So, whatever the fuck, you know, unless it was some Me Too shit or some other shit, dog, like, if it's just a, you know, a difference of opinion and he's hard to work with, like, you gotta put that shit aside, you know? Like,
right.
He just did the damn thing, you know?
Yeah, that's another one I need to finish, but yeah. X-Men is like that.
The Eps drop on Wednesday, so like I just don't watch new shit on Wednesday. I'm too busy trying to catch up and shit, so I usually catch those on like Friday or the weekend or whatever. So, last week, week before last, like, Gambit, like, supposedly died and shit, man. Like, man, niggas was broke up over that shit, dog. But they did it, like, hey, man, it was tastefully done, y'all.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
While I'm remembering.
Go ahead. Nah, they said, like, this episode, I think, is supposed to be the Wrath of Rogue and shit, man. And yeah, man, the biggest takeaway from this series is like, man, for once, Cyclops ain't a bitch ass nigga, you know? So, like, that's always been like some shit that like fanboys criticized the original series about, like, man, he just a motherfucking simp, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a tag along for motherfucking Jean. Like, nah, he ain't a bitch ass nigga in this series, dog.
Okay.
Tom, what's funny is growing up reading the comics, you know, I always think he was that nigga.
I watched this dude on YouTube called Blur Without Fear. It's a black dude, whatever, man. He was like, man, this is what we've been waiting for, man. He's so good in the comics, but we were so disappointed in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I was like, see, because I had no idea. I was like, man, well, because he was a simp, and so was Wolverine for Gene, but like, Wolverine, like, redeemed himself because he'd be cutting motherfuckers the fuck up. You know, like, Cyclops was just always holding back. He was like Superman when you know, he had restraints and shit, man. Like, just being too much of a nice guy. Like, motherfucker, you can cut through shit with a beam in your eyes. You know, like, right. Do that shit, you know? Yeah.
Him and Colossus were two characters I remember, like, reading comics growing up. I thought they was both, like, supposed to be that nigga. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I haven't really seen that yet in the film, but yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, but real quick, I was gonna mention a couple of other shows I watched that I was gonna tell people about. One is an old show called The Good Doctor with the kid who was in Peter Pan when he was little, I think his name Freddie Highmore. Yeah, pretty good. You know, he plays an autistic surgeon. So this joint goes like 5 seasons. I'm in the middle of season 5 now. It's pretty good, you know.
CBS show?
I think it's ABC, but I'm watching it on Hulu. And the other show I'm watching on Hulu is called The Cleaning Lady. It's a I think it's an FX or Fox show.
Yeah, it's FX.
One of them. But yeah, this joint like that, you know. She's like a doctor from the Philippines who, you know, comes to America to get a surgery for her son. And she ends up you know, because her medical license doesn't apply here, she ends up, like, just cleaning, like, you know, different facilities and buildings and all that shit. Somehow she just gets mixed up in, she was cleaning a club where, like, this drug kingpin, it's like a front for his business, and she witnesses a murder, and they're about to kill her, and this is kind of the implausible part. She like, yeah, I can clean this up for you. Cause like he shot him in like the middle of the club shit. He was like, man, you know, the police investigate this. Y'all got blood all over the place. She was like, I can clean this up for you and they'll never know anything happened here. Like it won't leave a trace. And like he like considered it and she like thought about it. He was like, all right, let's see what you can do, blah, blah, blah. I was like, they gonna keep her alive for this, you know? Like, okay. You ain't got no cleaner and you a big time drug dealer? Fine.
Right.
So yeah. But, you know, once I got past that, it's actually really good, man. It gets into like her family dynamic with like her sister in law and their kids and like trying to get visas, you know, trying to get more experimental drugs for her son. Her son has like an autoimmune disease. And like, yeah, she's just trying to keep her kid alive, man. So it's really good, man. Real suspenseful, just high intensity show, man. Lots of good killing, you know. So yeah, just those two.
Right. Yeah, I think I had started that, but I was getting too many vibes of Queen of the South, and I didn't finish that, and I was like, I'm not going to start another show like this. You know?
Okay.
All right, Kenny, watch anything this week, man?
Nah, nothing comes to mind. I didn't go to the movies and ain't really else. Ain't nothing else I've really been on. Like I said, nothing comes to mind, so. Yeah. I'm going to get into Shogun. There's a couple of shows.
Yeah.
I think that out of all the episodes are available, I'm going to get into. But.
And, yeah, I'm going to rewatch. That first Rebel Moon and watch the second one just to give it a fair shot. Yeah, I know it's not going to be that much better, but yeah, based on all the shit I've been missing and not giving a fair shot, whatever, I should go ahead and give it another shot. All right, so what's up, Katie, do you have a racism wake your ass up update?
I do. Actually, I got two of them this week.
All right.
So the first one, the headline is Hollywood forfeits up to $30 billion every year because of racial inequity. Who would pass up $30 billion? Hollywood's top decision makers and gatekeepers, apparently. Beginning in 2021, the consulting firm McKinsey has published a series of reports exploring the entertainment industry's representation and inclusion of historically excluded people. Along the way, the analysts told up the potential financial revenue that Hollywood could stand to gain if it adopted more culturally inclusive business solutions. $10 billion per year from closing the black inequity gap. An eye-popping $12 billion to $18 billion from properly valuing Latino professionals and consumers. And in the latest report released today, conducted in collaboration with Goldhouse, $2 billion to $4.4 billion for more effectively tapping the Asian and Pacific Islander market. The latter figure is calculated based on U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics data that Asian Americans earn on average 30% more than non-Asian Americans but spend 35% less on media. Meanwhile, McKinsey's own survey of API consumers found that nearly half would spend more money, 49% in time, 47% on film and television with more authentic representation. Put plainly, Asian Americans have a lot of money and they would spend more of it on media if it better reflected them. With movies like Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, and Parasite, and television series like The Beef and Squid Games, sweeping awards and artists like Dwayne Johnson, Taiki Waititi, and Mindy Kaling on the celebrity A-list, it's true that Asians and Pacific Islanders are enjoying unprecedented levels of prominence and prestige in pop culture, but there are a couple caveats to keep in mind. For one, the progress is relative. Almost anything is better than a handful of major roles every few decades, especially when that representation includes characters like Mr. Yunioshi, Apu, and Long Duk Dong. I hope I said that correctly. Secondly, although API representation in film leapt from 3 to 20% in the 20 years between 2002 and 2022, 85% of that recent representation is in movies produced outside the United States, and episodic television has seen similar trends. AAPIs, 6.2% of the U.S. population are still underrepresented by 50% in content made in their own country, with 3.4% of lead roles in U.S.-produced films, which means that the API faces seen on screen do not necessarily reflect the experiences and perspectives of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders living here. Furthermore, API representation has pronounced genre skewed. Nearly half of wide-release features for API leads are action-adventure movies, and movies with API leads tend to be increasingly race-agnostic the more widely they are distributed. For example, in the 5 years between 2018 and 2022, 76% of American movies in limited and theatrical release with at least one API lead, The Farewell, were considered race-specific compared with just 37% of wide-release features. This phenomenon of cultural invisibility is not shared across other racial groups. For example, McKinsey's 2021 report on black representation in Hollywood found that black-led films were twice as likely to be race-specific as race-agnostic. As our research and analysis have demonstrated, executives don't need to act out of altruism. The McKinsey authors wrote other reasons for improving on and off-screen representation. The reward for getting it right could create real impact for the industry, and the prize will only grow. Progress may not be easy, but when the enhanced richness of storytelling is accompanied by a multi-billion dollar opportunity, the business case is clear. And the other one, deadline, Alameda County prosecutors allegedly excluded black people and Jews from death penalty juries. A federal judge has ordered Alameda County District Attorney Pamela Price to review all of the death penalty cases handled by the District Attorney's office after uncovering evidence that prosecutors may have wrongfully worked to systematically exclude black people and Jews from the juries of homicide cases. In an order issued today, U.S. District Court Judge Vince Cabria said that the handwritten notes of prosecutors from the 31-year-old murder case constitute strong evidence that in prior decades, prosecutors from the Alameda County District Attorney's Office were engaged in a pattern of serious misconduct, automatically excluding Jewish and African-American jurors in death penalty cases. Ernest Dykes was convicted in 1995 of attempting to murder Bernice Clark and murdering her 9-year-old grandson, Lance Clark, during an attempted $75 robbery. Dykes was sentenced to death in 1995 by an Alameda County jury and held at San Quentin State Prison. Dykes won a stay of execution in 2011, and the next year filed what's known as a petition for habeas corpus, arguing that he wasn't afforded the opportunity of a fair trial. His attorneys made numerous different arguments about the quality of Dykes' defense and the actions of the prosecutors before the case was eventually handed over to Cabria. According to Judge Cabria's ruling, Price handed over jury selection notes from the original 1993 trial to him and Dykes' attorneys. The notes appear to show that the prosecutors who handled the case identified Jewish people and black people and purposely sought to exclude them from the jury pool based on their race and ethnicity. Price said today that notes were recently filed by a deputy district attorney in a Dykes case file and probably handled to Cabria and the defense. The district attorney in 1993 was John L. Meehan, a career prosecutor who was handpicked by predecessor Lowell Jensen to run the office. Tom Orloff took over the DA's office in 1994 after Meehan endorsed him and was elected. Colson Carmine was the lead prosecutor in the Dykes case, according to KQED, and he was assisted in jury selection by Morris Jacobson, who today is an Alameda County judge. Excerpts of records released by the Price's office appear to show that prosecutors tried to identify whether people were Jewish or black during the process of selecting jurors for trials. One outdated note referred to a potential juror as a short, fat troll. Another described a prospective black female juror read says, "No race, no issue, but I don't believe her." The apparent attempts to exclude black and Jewish people from juries and homicide cases may have been based upon the belief that these groups would be less likely to convict someone if a death sentence was possible. Any exclusion of potential jurors because of their race or religion would have been unconstitutional. Price said his behavior was not limited to one or two prosecutors, but involved a variety of prosecutors. Price added that people identifying this method did not end up in juries. And the story goes on for a little bit after that, but I think I pretty much get the gist of it. So. So whenever people talk about, like, you know, racism,
making up shit. Like, I still talking about it. Like, again, I do this every week, and, you know, I know, like, sometimes I preach to the choir, like, yeah, I know this shit is happening, but I know a lot of times people just need to be hit, like, just that dose of evidence that, like, yeah, this shit really is, like, systematically happening. I mean, not making this up. This shit is really happening, you know? Yeah, so.
That's why it's a segment, yeah. All right, I signed with some the outrage for a week. For real? Is this another one? Because I heard Chris shit. So I heard Chris shit, and I heard Quavo's response. So Chris responded again.
I don't know if he responded again. I really wouldn't know. Because he wouldn't even trending for that.
Oh gosh, what? Another one, yeah. so Nick Cannon can't live his life and shit. Yeah, I get it. Well, as long as he's, he knows the motherfucking, the deck is stacked against him and shit, and he good with it, you know, as good as he can be. It's like he's not letting it drive him crazy and shit, and he, you know, just goes about his motherfucking business, Sean. Come on, Manda. Come on, Manda. When she got dubbed. God damn.
The whole interview is 3 hours. They could have been 2 parts.
Damn, it's more. Okay.
It's one's an hour and a half. The second part's an hour and a half.
Tight. Yeah, I'm not watching all that. I've never watched the whole show. I just need the clips of the particular subjects I'm interested in. I'm not watching all that.
I listened to it in the car. It took me almost 2 hours to get home from work today. So, yeah, there was an overturned car on the highway. 3 lanes were closed. So,
God, I normally
20-minute drive to 2 hours. So, yeah. Anyway, so I had some time to listen to it, and I'm trying to get to the Issa Rae part, you know. But and this isn't really anything personal against her. It really isn't, you know. But like, there's a certain parts that I'm already kind of like, dog, I don't know if I'm gonna make it, you know, because Shannon isn't like trying to trigger her. I really believe this. But like, I'm not going to say he comes from a certain time. I'm not going to say that. But I think sometimes it is like big differences in how people were raised. And I'm not saying that she was raised wrong. I'm not saying that. But sometimes it's just different. So she's telling a story about how in she was growing up in Orlando. I started at the beginning. So like this is like maybe like no more than 20 minutes in. And she's telling the story about like how in elementary, so I think it was elementary school, she got in trouble because she corrected one of her teachers. Because one of her teachers was talking about like the Aborigines and all that and how they were like this ancient culture and all this stuff. She's like, no, Aborigines are still alive today, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she pretty much chalked it up to like, yeah, I was like one of the few black kids in this school. And it's obviously the teacher was racist, blah, blah, blah. And Shannon was like, well, hold up. Do you think that the teacher would have had the same reaction if it was a white child that was correcting him? And see, Shannon is on correcting. To him, how he was raised, like children don't correct adults, period. But for Amanda to say, like, yeah, I corrected my teacher, to him, he was like, well, do you think that she would have done the same thing if it was a white child that would have corrected him? Like, and he tried to explain, is like, from, you know, how I grew up, like, kids knew their place. Kids don't correct adults. And she just looked at him and was like, I don't understand, like, right now how you're, like, trying to correct me. And he's like, look, I'm not saying like in any way that which I'm trying not trying to downplay anything that you're saying. I'm just saying they, you know, I'm just asking a question. And it's like there were certain like moments like that throughout the interview where she would like say something, he'd be like, well, hold up, does this mean? And again, he's just speaking from experience of how he came up. Because again, they went back to her childhood and she's just looking at him like, I can't believe right now you're doing this, or what about this? So like when and she starts talking about like the civil rights movement, he's like, I'm just asking a question. So I'm not trying to hold that against her and be like, I'm not going to like listen to the whole thing, because apparently there are a lot of moments in here that people talking. She's trending on Twitter. So my curiosity is definitely piqued. But again, it's like sometimes I'm just like listening to her. I'm like, yo, how did we get here? And I always go back to when she was on, and Tone, I know I'm going to tank it, you know, and we talked about it, that show she was on with Tamera Mowry. Was that The Talk, you know?
Yeah. That,
why we can't never remember the name of this damn show?
Because it's like five.
The Real. That's it. Yeah, The Real. Yeah. God damn, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, The Real. And they was talking about, I was about to call him Juicy, you know. Jesse, smoke, you know, and that whole shit. And she was like, even if he lied, that was like, borderline noble that he did that to like bring. And I was just like, you know, how do we get here with her sometimes?
Yeah. I don't know, like, to be someone that's in Hollywood, like, she seems to have communication problems a lot, you know?
Like, extra, she's always extra.
Like, they all, she's always missing somebody right where they stands. Like, you right in front of me, but I'm just like, it's a total whiff, you know?
Yeah.
It's odd, isn't it, you know?
It's real, yeah. And this is the thing, I'm like, I don't know the first thing. I've never met her. I just, but like,
it's like, she been around so long, like, you gotta be more aware of, like, your delivery and your communication or lack thereof at this point. You know, like, ain't she,
right.
Ain't she in her, like, later 30s or some shit like that now?
Maybe older than that, yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to, like,
maybe early 40s with that?
You know, I never want to overshoot a woman's age, young, so I was playing sure. safe.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, man, she's like, she always just misses the mark, young, with communication. I'm like, at this point, young, like, why is it always a problem, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've gotten to the point where, like, you know, I understand people who may not want to be bothered, young, because if it's always something, young, like, I don't want to be next. And I know how easy it is for people to, quote unquote, get canceled by a certain group of people. So, like, let me just avoid this altogether, young. And the modern world shit still rubs a lot of black men the wrong way. So, there's that.
There's that. You know.
Yeah, that was the big one. To me, it's just that those two things happened right after. Like, within, like, one or 2 years back. Like, she got thrown out of this party. It was a big deal about him the modern world shit. So, she just, you know, she started getting hated by a lot of people.
Mm.
Yeah, like,
it's just a hole she can't dig herself out of.
Yeah, and she don't do herself no favors. Like, even all that shit aside, you know, like, Jussie low-key noble?
Yeah, dog.
That might be the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my fucking life. How do you come to that conclusion? Nigga that lied, wasted resources, and made black people look dumb, you know? Because we always behind this nigga. How is that low-key noble? Just because he black? Because it's he black and gay? Where? So, yeah. I can see why people don't want to be bothered, young. And she could be completely right in most, if not all, of these situations except for my role in Jussie Smollett. But I can see why people don't want to be bothered, you know?
But she 100% right, though. Somebody say they don't like you, you know? It's time to get off the phone, you know? You get to an age where you just don't give a fuck anymore.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Like, yeah.
You stop caring. So, like, what is there to talk about? Like, I don't need to hear why. I don't give a fuck. Because, like you said, I ain't done nothing to you.
Well, yes and maybe not. Yeah. Yes and maybe not. Just like
from her perspective, because I'm sure if you asked the publicist, she was like, "Yeah, one time I went to the break room and that bitch bumped it." It ain't no fucking telling what
dog like.
Yeah, what could have happened was slight or yeah, perceived young, like, slight. There, who knows? Young.
Based on her, you know, communication problems with people. And, you know, if we're just being honest, and, like, I can be fucking just as guilty of this shit as her, and we can all be. Her condescending tone sometimes, John. Like, maybe she did offend somebody. Just maybe. Possibly.
Or somebody could just say, like, yeah, I don't like her.
Well, like, no, like, well, if she worked with Issa and her publicist and shit, man, like, maybe she, you know, belittled her. So, like, it can be anything that you might not be aware of because you might have a communication problem, young, and it's not the first time it's happened, young. Yeah. And maybe this person is just as, if not more petty than you, and has something to hold over your fucking head and pick their spot, young. Hey, man, like, they often say, man, Hollywood, especially, man, is about relationships and how you treat people, you know? People remember shit, dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but 3 hours, I'm cool on that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what else you can talk about.
Right.
They go, one thing about these interviews, Shannon, like I said, he starts from the very beginning. So, like, there's a long conversation in here just about her, like, you know, being from Orlando, like, going to New York when she was 12 and, like, feeling like this is where I belong. I found my tribe, like, just the vibe in New York as opposed to how I was in Florida. Shannon fucked up and for some reason thought like her mother was white or something like that. I don't know where he got that from, but then they had a whole conversation about that. Now people think that she got a white parent. She's not biracial. Like both her parents are black and all that. And they talk about that. Like I said, they talk about fucking everything, you know? So. From what I've heard so far, so. I ain't even got to the second part yet and shit about Issa Rae and all that stuff, but yeah.
Alright. Yeah, man. I was gonna say, Shannon might not be the greatest interviewer of all time, but one thing that I do like about him and I miss a lot from the late Combat Jack is he goes from the very beginning, so you know you can get a full understanding of like where somebody comes from and you know how they got to this point that we know them and shit, man. Like you know a lot of people do these long form interviews, like you know Nori does it, Drink Champs and stuff like that, but they kind of like start, you know, they kind of like skim over people's childhood, but that childhood shit is what fucking forms a lot of people's opinions of the world and shit, man. You know, I always appreciate that about Combat Jack, and Shannon Shink seems to like do that a lot too. Like I was going back to the Cat Williams joint. Like I hadn't heard about Cat's, you know, alleged childhood and reading them 10,000 books and all that shit. But you know, yeah, you have something to say? Some shit.
TikTok.
Oh, that one. Oh. So, when does that take effect, if at all, young? Was it going to be in litigation forever? stay tuned. All
right. Hold on, Tone, real quick. I got some outrage in. People really mad at Stephen A. Smith this time, yeah.
Oh, gosh. What happened now, yeah?
So, I'm not even going to play what he said, you know? But to let you know how mad black people really are this time, you know, I'm going to play what Bakari Sellers said about him on a Breakfast Club, all right?
About Stephen A. Smith?
I think that he appreciates the white gaze. And I think that he's made himself...
The white gays?
What's wrong with appreciating the white LGBTQ community?
I didn't say gay. G-A-Z-E.
Oh.
Gays.
Did it sound like you said that?
What?
What's wrong with the white gays?
Gays. G-A-Z-E.
Oh. I'm back.
Them niggas can't be serious for 2 seconds, huh? Yeah.
But nah, you know, he piles around with the Sean Hannitys and Tucker Carlson's of the world. He gives them their platform. Just, you know, last week he's talking about how when Donald Trump says that black folk find it relatable that he's going through his prosecution, I think that his anti-intellectualism, Stephen A. Smith, confused that that persecution with prosecution. Like, there is, you cannot compare the plight of my father, who got wrongfully arrested, went to trial, went to prison, right? That is a persecution to the plight of Donald Trump.
Shot at.
Shot, yeah. Right? So you can't compare that. And I think that he talks loudly, and I think he comes from just a place of anti-intellectualism where he doesn't know. And I think that he's used as a conduit for white supremacy, particularly in these echo chambers. And what happens is, white folk, white conservatives are able to be like, when you say dumb stuff like, you know, black people find it relatable that Donald Trump is indicted, right? First of all, it perpetuates stereotypes that we're hyper-criminalized, et cetera. But when you say that, white folk now look at you and be like, aha, there's even a Negro that says that too. Mm-hmm. And he's just, he's kind of a useful idiot when it comes to things like that. Mm-hmm. Now, I disagree with his sports takes all the time, right? But that is what it is. But the stakes are too high for that level of ignorance. And so, Jason Whitlock is a different animal. I think Jason Whitlock, Ice Cube, Stephen A. Smith are all in different lanes. I don't want people to think they're the same, but I do think they contribute to an erosion of our culture and particularly the success thereof.
I don't like the generalization of when they ask those questions. Like if somebody asked Stephen A. Smith that, he shouldn't accept it. He should say, I can't speak.
That's how long the clip can be played on Twitter, but Roland Martin did like a 20-minute video dissecting what he said on his YouTube channel. NAACP called him out. Like, I can go down and list of people who just said, like, look, man, we've been tap dancing around your buck dancing for a while now, and we can't do it no more, you know. Like, we tried to protect you. A lot of people... And I give Bakari Sellers like credit for saying it with his chest, because a lot of people wouldn't do that because of how powerful Stephen A. Smith is. And to see like just the unified clapback on what he said, it was kind of like kind of gave me a little bit of life earlier this week, man. To see it, because again, I just know. For so long, people just didn't want to see it. Not in the way they did this week. Like, when you see people like Roland Martin, and like, these are people that I'm sure he knows. Yeah. And I've heard a lot of people say, like, yeah, I know him. People, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But for him to do what he did on Sean Hannity's show, man, and say the shit that he said, and then come back and then kind of like double down on it, that made it worse, and then he finally apologized, but it wasn't really an apology, you know. It was like 70% of an apology, but when you still are like framing it as like, y'all misunderstood what I was saying, ain't nobody misunderstand what you were saying, dog. Like, you said that shit with your chest. You said it. Ain't nobody misinterpret shit.
So he agreed with the with the idea or the statement that black people should empathize with Trump because he's being wrongly accused.
Trump was saying that. And Stephen A. Smith was saying, like, yeah, he's right. That's what he said. That's what he said.
The thing that killed me is when he got called out on it. I bet he went over what he said with a fine-tooth comb looking for some kind of
escape route.
Kind of end where he could like flip it a little bit. He tried to say what I said was the black people do support Trump. That's how they do
it. No. That ain't what you said, you know. That is not what you said, you know. Good try. Good try. It was a good try.
Ain't no wiggle room there, y'all. And, you know, I'm neither for nor against Stephen A. Smith and shit, man. But I've always empathized with him to a certain degree because when you're on TV every day, everything you say, like, people use that in a vacuum. Like, all black people feel this way. So that's pretty heavy thing to deal with being the voice of black people every day and shit. But when you say that, you know, like,
well, see, that's the thing, you know. Why does he feel like he has to be an expert on everything, you know? And why? And see, this is the thing. I know why people in television book him. I know why. I work in television. I got to know why. Like, yeah, that's a good pull. If you're a talent producer on a show like Sean Hannity, and you can get somebody like him to come on and talk about pretty much anything, yeah, you do it. You know it's going to equal clicks. People are going to be talking about it. I get it. But for him, dog, you're not an expert on this.
Well, the reason
and that's fine. You don't have to know everything. That's why I don't trust a nigga. Like, to me, Michael Eric Dyson, I don't trust that nigga. You know why? Because it's like he know every fucking thing. You can ask him anything, and that nigga will sit there and give you a 20-minute answer. I'm like, see, nah, you ain't no fucking way, you know? You can't possibly know everything, you know? It's okay to sometimes say, you know what, I don't know. But any nigga who will try to conjure up an answer, I was like, yeah, I don't trust it, you know? So for Stephen A. Smith, like, fine, dog. It's fine having lanes in life. It's fine. But, dog, you way out of your depth when you're talking about this shit and it shows up and then you put your foot in your mouth and it's like, well, I can't be wrong. I can't be.
Well, here's what it is, Kenny. He don't turn down no camera time and no mic time, you know?
And to his detriment, too.
Well, yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Like, but he loved hearing, like, okay, you know, he wanted to be a basketball player. That didn't work out and shit. He became a reporter and shit. And then he found that lane in TV or whatever. And when he got fired from ESPN, got let go from CNN and shit, man, like, I think he made up in his mind, if I get a chance again, I ain't gonna say no to anything where I can be heard or seen.
Tone, he just
what
dog.
The fuck they talking about? I'm gonna be heard or seen when I get the opportunity to, until the day I die.
Tone, this is the thing though. I don't even know it so much as that. Now he just did another interview with Earn Your Leisure on their podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And on it, he's talking about like playing the corporate game. Like, at some point, you got to stop, you know, with, you know, sticking your chest out, blah, blah, blah. You got to understand, like, in order to be at the top of this, you got to, like, play the corporate game. You got to learn how to do this. You got to learn how to do that. Black people don't got to know how to do this. You got to learn how to do it. Like, even him going on, Hannity kind of gives that away. Because when he was down and out, Sean was still bringing him on his show. So even all these many years later, it's almost like he's still paying Sean Hannity back. But, dog, why are you and Sean Hannity cool in the first place?
Because they used each other. In both of their eyes, they used each other. Sean has used them to be the token Negro to say some dumb shit.
Yeah.
That's going to, you know, support his motherfucking base and shit. And in Stephen A's eyes, like, this is a look. It's Sean Hannity.
But see, that's the thing. That's the thing, though, Tom. So, like, is it worth, like, is all of it? The TV appearances, the notoriety, the money, is all that worth that, dude? That you got to go on motherfucking TV and Sean Hannity's bringing you on saying, like, here's Sean, my friend Stephen A. Smith. He doesn't like to admit that we're friends and all that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for real? Is it worth that, dude?
If you asking me from his perspective, after I've
it's
been
fired. Obvious. Yeah, it's obvious that answer.
After
yes.
I've been fired, sure. fired from TV, if I can still get that look, I don't care how.
Skinning and grinning, you know?
By yeah. what?
All the way
by
to the
however
bank.
Means, whatever means I can get to that finish line of being seen and heard,
mm-hmm.
I'm good with it.
Yeah. And I got to go on Fox News and talk this bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? He been doing so long, he might believe it. I wouldn't be surprised, John.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because it's a lot of people out here bullshit, and they know that they bullshitters, John. But, you know, they playing the game a different way. With him, John, I really think he loves to hear himself seen and heard.
No doubt about it, John. There ain't no doubt about it, John.
Hey, dog.
But is the tomfoolery worth it, you know? Nah. It's not, you know?
Hey, man, Kenny, some people all about what? Checks, 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 checks.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you know. Ain't no fucking way, you know?
Yeah, so. But to your point, though, like, you don't trust Michael Eric Dyson. Yeah. Just remove his name and just say, all these niggas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, one day, young, it's going to catch on. Niggas going to get it, young. Yeah. Nobody can be trusted. Not even me. Don't trust me either. Please, y'all. I don't want to disappoint anybody, young. Don't trust everything anyone says, young. But people just got it, like, made up in their mind. Like, if I support one thing, I got to support everything because I don't want to be made out to be a fool because I support this person. Like, no, people can be wrong about some things and right about some things. It's this that simple. But yeah, this my man. Yeah, no, the fuck he not, yeah. No, the fuck he not. You setting yourself up. Don't trust these niggas, y'all. Yeah. And by niggas, I mean everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. Oh, Steven.
Yeah.
I'm an independent. I consider myself... Nigga, no, nigga. Yeah, you're independent, all right. Yeah. Out for your independent wealth, man.
Yeah.
I didn't take it as like, you know, I wasn't insulted by it, but I'm like, he really thinks he's saying something, calling himself an independent, you know, like... He's standing on some island, young, being fearless.
Yeah, right.
Like, what the fuck? What? I have arguments with my sisters all the time because I'm an independent. Like, shut up.
Tom. Yeah. That nigga put them two videos on. Try to explain him. Exactly. Yeah. I clicked on that shit, nigga. Shut up. I can't listen to this, you know? Nigga, you said it. You said it, and people are calling you out, and they call you. I saw people call motherfucking Sam. I called, man, people brought out motherfucking old shit on him, you know? Cheese eating, all kinds of shit, you know? I
see. Cheese eating, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The shit I saw to the people called Stephen A. Smith this week, yeah, it was pretty bad, dude.
Yeah.
But I'm telling Tom, I'm like, dog, you said it, you know. That's period, point blank. You sitting up there trying to explain, but you said that shit, you know? People aren't stupid. It's not that we can't understand what you're saying, you know? So, it was crazy seeing them try to explain that. That nigga finally came with an apology. I was like, yeah, dog. Man, it's too late, dude. Pop should apologize, niggas. Shut up, dog. Ain't nobody trying to hear that shit now, you know? I'm sorry, Tom. I just been cooking all week at it.
Man, this is my first time hearing it. I'm just like, you know, not surprised, but it still don't make it not bad.
Yeah.
And, it's just that overexposure. Like, sometimes people need to take a step back, you know? You're on TV every day. There's a podcast. Now you're going to go, like, dog, the law of averages, like say that. You're going to say something stupid, young. So you might want to just shut the fuck up, especially about shit that you don't, like, have great knowledge of, you know, maybe.
Like Steve Harvey disciples, you know.
Bro, like, man, sometimes turn the mic away, you know.
Yeah.
Turn the camera off.
You ain't gotta be on everything, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to. Especially talking about shit that's obvious that, you know, time and again, he's been in these situations where he veers from sports and he ends up getting to, like, these political, like we saw him and Max, and all, like, he be getting cooked, you know? And at some point, I'm just gonna be like, dog, just stop. Just stop doing it.
Got Max shipped off, you know, because he kept on getting embarrassed.
Think about it, you know. On his own shit.
That nigga Max would say, I'm going to let you talk. Just dig that hole deeper and deeper. I'm going to let you talk.
The Democrats, and see, this is the thing. I didn't even mention the part about him saying, like, yeah, the Democrats are, like, going after Trump because, like, they can't stop his momentum with some stupid shit. He said, like, yeah, Trump got the momentum. Democrats can't do nothing about it. They ain't got no strategy. So this is the best thing that they can come up with, you know? It's weaponizing the courtroom. And Sean Hannity sitting up there eating that shit up, you know?
Yeah. Put a lettuce and tomato in that shit sandwich, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Like, yeah. I'm trying to get a brother benefit of doubt sometimes, man. But
he don't deserve it, you know? He stopped deserving the benefit of doubt a long time ago, you know?
Yeah, some of this shit's just indefensible, man. Like, Yeah. I think Sam dropped. Kenny, you still there, right?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Yeah. Maybe Sam agrees with Steve. He won't hear our shit no more. No more.
Yeah.
Nah. All right, man. Yeah. That's too bad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But can't say, well, maybe the ridicule, but just like hearing that and having to like sit back and hear whoever defended while other people like tore it apart, you know, like, yeah, these are the parts of Twitter I don't miss, Sean. All right. Damn, I'm gonna ask Sanders, maybe you know this shit too, young. I haven't listened to that latest Drake disjoint. Like, is it him or is he using AI with, like, Snoop and Tupac's voice and shit? Because if that's the case, I don't want to hear that shit. Do you know?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
I said the latest Drake diss, is it him or is it him using Snoop's voice and Tupac's voice with AI.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Like, that's the part of this fucking beef that I just don't, like, I don't know what's real and what's not, you know? This shit's like listening to an audio book version of They Live, you know? Like, I don't know what's real and what's not, you know?
Yeah. I haven't really been keeping up with it like that, so.
Yeah. I just know, you know, like, low-key, I feel like Drake is winning this joint because it's like, these niggas gotta form the Avengers against one nigga, young. Yeah. That's just what it feels like, young. And I'm far from a fucking Drake apologist and shit, young. But like, between, you know, start with Kendrick, fucking Future, Metro Boomin, then Rick Ross, like, it's like they got all the heavyweights coming at this nigga, and this nigga still standing, young. Like, I ain't saying Aubrey is Thanos, young, but like it's an all-star cast, young. So, yeah, like I said, everybody's waiting for Kendrick, young. Like, I don't know why everybody else gets 24 hours and this nigga get 3 weeks, young, but different strokes for different folks, huh?
Yeah.
So, we shall soon see, perhaps. All right. Let's move on to our final segment. If you don't have anything else, because I don't have anything else entertainment-wise. So, you got any tanks?
Do not have any tanks.
Real bad too. Somebody just tanked. Yeah. Oh yeah, man. So, you know, since this damn Puffy shit that come down, like, every fucking platform is trying to interview Gene Deal. Lord, they going through the second round of Jaguar rights now, you know? Oh, God, yeah. Nigga. I quit the internet if Shannon bring a motherfucking Jaguar right up on that motherfucker and put on that couch, dog. That interview going to be, nigga, longer than the motherfucker a recruiting and an NIL show that y'all put up, dog. Like, nah. I am not dealing with that. I promise you, yeah. But yeah, I was about to say, I think, was it the Art of Dialogue? Was it Say Cheese brought Gene Deal, Puff's old security, head of security up and shit, man. So, Gene be tanking the fuck out of anything, like, Balenciaga, and like, yeah, he be fucking any of these damn names, DiVaggio, and yeah. So, he was like, yeah, so, you know, when Puff went against DiVaggio, man, you know, he got the Sir Cock in him, and then, you mean Ciroc, Sir, what's it called again? I said, this nigga called this shit Sir Cock, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it. I said, that's kind of good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
Sir Cock?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what you like watching.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bless Gene Deal, you know? He gets a lot of shit, but dog, he was early to the party. Like, I think he was the first nigga in the room, young. Calling Puff out, young. You know, all this stuff is still allegedly, but still, young. Like, when it wasn't a very popular thing to do, young, and he was just a bitter ass nigga who got fired and shit, man. Yeah. Now a lot of people want to be friends, young, want some content, you know. Want some salacious stories, and they're calling him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, you know. Maybe we shouldn't be so quick to just poo-poo on people who, you know, speaking against the can't do wrong, you know, popular celebrity and shit. Because nobody can be trusted. All right, so let's go to the listening tanks and feedback of the week.
I don't think there are any. Okay. I don't see any emails in there.
All right. right, so shit, let's get some shouts and get about you. We did 3 hours this week. Yep. Good shit, man. Kenny?
Yeah, as always, thanks to everybody who listens to the show. As always, you can follow us on social media at KBADS, that's KBADDS, and High Five Starter. Any questions, comments, send them to hotfivestarter@gmail.com. And if you'd like to donate to the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/hotfivestarter. And as always, if you'd like to know how I lost 100 pounds, just click the link in my Twitter bio. It's up there. And yeah, see y'all next week.
All right, appreciate you guys out there listening, supporting the cast, spreading the word. We'll holler at you guys next week. This FS Podcast, and we out.